Call this meeting of the Highlands Council to order. And a roll call, please, Annette.
Certainly. Kurt Olsen?
Here.
Tracy Carlucci?
Here.
Bill Collier?
Here.
Michael Francis?
Here.
Robert Holtaway?
Here.
Janice Kovac?
Yes.
Mimi Letts?
Here.
Paul Richka?
Here.
Glenn Petrino? James Vizioli?
Here.
Jack Schreier?
Present. Thank you. Would you please join me in a prayer of allegiance to the flag?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
We have before us the minutes. This meeting is called to, in conformance with the Open Public Meetings Act. And we have before us approval of the minutes of the meeting of February 17th, our prior meeting. Has everyone had an opportunity to read the minutes?
I'll move that these minutes be approved.
I second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
I just wanted to make a brief note of item 11 on the agenda. As normal, it includes the possibility of an executive session. At that time, in this meeting, I will entertain a motion to go into executive session to discuss recent litigation matters relating to the Highlands Council and personnel matters regarding our existing vacancies. Just an advisory effect. I have nothing else to report at this time. I need executive director's report.
Yes, good afternoon.
And happy St. Patrick's Day.
Yeah. Well, I think that I call for loyal of Hannah Porrick with August Fasulum, who made Hune Arawa Ansha and Law Ansha.
Merci.
Anyone opposed?
In honor of the day, the staff enjoyed Irish brown soda bread, and some of the council members were lucky to get the staff left behind. This doesn't happen too often. Okay, today I'd like to start by giving you your customary plan conformance update. And here's where we are at the moment. We have received 64 petitions, 59 of those are from municipalities and 5 are from counties. Of those petitions, 51 have been deemed administratively complete and posted to the council website, and that includes 2 counties. Up to date, you have the council approved 17 petitions, 16 of those from municipalities and 1 for Passaic County. At today's meeting, you will be considering 2 petitions, 1 for Lone Patcong Township and 1 for the preservation area of Somerset County. The municipal response period is underway for 6 townships. That means that they have received their consistency review from the Highlands Council. Those municipalities are Franklin, Holland, Parsippany Troy Hills and Washington Morris, and the boroughs of Kinlaw and Bloomingdale. 15 additional draft consistency reports have been prepared and are currently under internal review, so we're getting ready to get those out, and another 11 are in development. So we continue to make great progress on those. And also, because we don't often talk about it, I just want to let you know that we're constantly working with the municipalities that you have approved because they're moving forward on their plan implementation schedule. This map just brings you up to date. Those are the petitions that have been approved in the last year, 2010. As a result of January, you see the growth of the back, show you again, of the blue there. And as a result of your last meeting, this is what it looked like. So once we go through the governor's review period after these meetings, we update this map on the Highlands Council website. So this is what it looks like today. Today you are looking at this area over here, this is Le Pape Home, and the petition before you is for both preservation and planning area. An update on the grant program. These are the average amounts requested for reimbursement by municipalities that are participating in the conformance grant activities. As you know, you gave a base amount approval of $50,000 for each municipality, but understanding the unique circumstances for the different municipalities, you allowed the council staff to authorize up to $100,000 dependent on your justification of need. In terms of modules 1 and 2, those are the build-out modules, you can see that we now have 71 applications in for us for module 1, or finished products actually, and 69 for module 2. And you see the average amounts for each of those under the base amounts. Module 3 is COA, affordable housing, either through COA or through the courts. You had allowed for 7,500. In this case, we do find that the average has been closer to 14,000. Module 4, the environmental resource inventory, the base amount is 2,000. The average, 3,198.59 municipalities have completed that work. Module 5 is the master plan element. The allowed amount there was 2,500. 52 municipalities have submitted their work, and the average amount paid out $6,304. Module 6, the land use ordinance. 5,000 was the base amount provided, and the average for the 49 municipalities that have submitted, 4,359. Module 7 is the actual petition submission and all the documents required with that. You allowed 8,000 for that, and the average is 7,394 from the 46 municipalities submitting it. So the average for the 50,000 has been around the $55,000 mark. We've added to that municipal response costs, because when we send out the review to municipalities, they have their professionals go through that, evaluate any changes, advise their governing bodies and their planning boards. We allowed 8,000 for that. Of the 11 municipalities that completed that work, the average was 9,387. So the average cost out of the 58,000 allowed for has been 64,901, well below the $100,000 that you've allowed municipalities to go up to. Before we get into Le Pape Home, there is one announcement I would like to make, and this is for the Highlands Development Credit Bank. They have scheduled a meeting for April 7th, and I wanted to advise you that we received an enormous amount of interest on the third round, where the categories were broadened, and consequently, the chair, Acting Chair Maglione, has worked with us to reschedule the meeting for August 4th, so that meeting will, April 7th and August 4th will not be held. We will be having the rescheduled meeting July 28th at 1 p.m. Many of the applicants sought extra time to submit the materials to show that they were eligible for the new broadened categories. So to allow for that and to allow for staff response because of the interest in the program, we rescheduled that. So the meeting will now be July 28th at 1 p.m. We're providing that notice out to the newspapers either tomorrow or next week, and we'll also have it on our website. Thank you, Tom. The deadline has also been extended for third round consideration, the acquisition consideration extended from March 24th to June 23rd. And actually, Chair, that brings us to Le Pape Home Township petition for the plan performance. The resolution is before you.
Thank you. Just reviewing the material on Le Pape Home Township. Can I be heard, by the way?
We have Gary Van Vliet here today, the Planning Board Chair from Le Pape Home.
Thank you. Please come up. Unless you'd like to wait till after the presentation.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
My name is Gary Van Vliet. I'm the chairman of the Planning Board of Le Pape Home Township. And we're here to petition for plan conformance. Do you have any questions on me?
There may be some questions subsequently, will you be saying?
I'm not exactly familiar with the procedure you use here for the plan.
Well, the executive director is going to make a presentation to the council. I will then ask for a motion on the resolution. We will then have the meeting open to the public for comments, and we will accept those, and then the council members will weigh in if they choose to, and then we'll take a vote.
Okay. I'd like to thank your staff for the cooperation they've shown Wapakoneta Township and our back and forth negotiations through the requirements process and all the modules. And I'd just like to indicate that we really appreciate their absolute professionalism in the way they worked, and we appreciate it greatly. Thank you.
Thank you. Nice to put. Thank you. Appreciate that.
Shall I return?
Please do. Just be ready to be beckoned. Okay.
Okay, I'll commence with the presentation, and I would like to acknowledge Chris Ross. Chris was the liaison, and so she has been working with the municipality on getting all these materials ready with the Highlands Council team. We'll be starting off here, and as is customary, we'll sort of try to take a journey into Lopatcom so that we get a better idea of the municipality that is before you this afternoon. Here you can see the Delaware Park Fire Company. In one of these pictures here, here the Fulmer Mine, which dates back to the 1860s, and what I believe are probably stalactites there. And on this side here, you can see the Marble Hill Natural Resource Area. Interestingly enough, part of the Highlands Trail goes through that resource area. The Lopatcong Township was incorporated in 1851, and as of 2009, the estimated population is 8,383 people. The land area is 4,721 acres, or 7.4 square miles. They have approximately 488 acres of preserved lands, 76 acres wetlands, total forest 1,245 acres, and farmland 1,112 acres. And here you see the municipal building for Lopatcong. A look back in time, here you see Lopatcong in 1930, and this area here, you can see really a lot of farmland. Over here, the very developed area of Phillipsburg, down here into Pohatcong. And if we take a step forward to, I believe this slide is from 2007, here you can see the developed area that has come out of here, and the growth even out here, this is into Greenwich. But still some agricultural lands remaining in Lopatcong. Highland statistics. The preservation area lands comprise 22% of Lopatcong, planning area lands 78%. Conformance with the regional master plan is mandatory in that 22%, but before you today, the petition from Lopatcong is for both preservation area and planning area lands. So the preservation area is a little over 1,000 acres, and the planning area over 3,500 acres. The protection zone is about 20% of the municipality, and the remainder is divided about equally between the existing community zone and the conservation zone. You can see there Highlands Open Water Protection, about 20% of the municipality, Forest Resource Area, about 26%, and then conservation priority areas, 12%, agricultural priority areas, 39%. Here's some statistics on land use. And what you can see here using NJDEP land use land cover, we see that about 71% of the municipality is in developed lands and about 28% in natural lands. Here again you see a slide showing you Lopatcong Township, and we're going to take a virtual flyover so that you get a better look at the municipality. As we start coming in here, we'll come in up Route 22 and stop it just for a second. Here you can see some developed areas. This is the Phillipsburg Mall, and to commence then going up Route 22. And, coming up Route 22 here, This we'll be talking about a little later on. This is the contaminated site, Ingersoll Rand. We'll be discussing that more. Here the shading is showing you that these are planning area lands. You can see that very developed portion up here, that Marble Hill resource area that we spoke about, and Lopatcong Park. I'm going to turn, fly over here. You can see agricultural lands here, some more developed portions. And we're going to turn and get into the preservation area lands, shown in the darker green, where you can see more forested lands here, some open lands, and some residential development. Circling back over Route 57, and then you can see where we came in, was up Route 22, came up there, and there's the crossing of Route 57. Now we're going to take a look at the ordinance maps that were prepared for Lopatcong Township, and as is the norm, you'll see that they are on the wall over there. The first one is showing you the land use capability zones, so you can see existing community, you can see protection zone, and you can see the conservation zone lands a little more clearly here. This next map shows you forest integrity. You can see low, moderate, and high, and forest resource areas where forest is present, it's most important to protect it. This shows you streams, wetlands, again, the watershed values by HUC 14, and those sub-watersheds, and again, low, moderate, and high values. This shows you steep slopes, so you can see the most severely constrained slopes here in the darkest color, down to constrained in sort of the yellow color. This one shows you significant natural areas where they exist and critical wildlife habitat. Wellhead protection area, you can see here, these are the different tiers. Also, this shows you carbonate rock, that's your karst limestone areas. This one shows you agricultural resource areas. So again, where agriculture is present, similar to, it's a density type mapping, similar to the forest resource areas. This next one is one showing you infrastructure. Where you see this color, you have both sewer and public community water systems available. Where it's just the blue, public community water systems, and this color shows you with just sewer. So again, where both are present is in this area here. This one shows you preservation area lands that are preserved, you can see here, and then high priority for preservation and moderate, again, because the statute required that you set priority areas both for conservation and agriculture. And here is the same for the agricultural priority areas, the darker brown showing high and the lighter color showing you moderate. Look back in time at Lopatcong Township. They have been a municipality that have been very involved in planning initiatives and have maintained up-to-date comprehensive master planning, including all the mandatory elements and numerous optional elements. A history of proactive engagement in community planning and indeed in conservation initiatives. Their master plan re-examination was done last in 2005. The last open space and recreation update 2004, stormwater management plan 2006, and their redevelopment plan for the Ingersoll Rand site 2006 and 2007. Now to have a little more conversation about that Ingersoll Rand site, which I did show you as we went through the flyover, but I have a slide that will depict it for you. The area was declared an area in need of redevelopment in 2006. Lopatcong adopted the resolution delineating the Brownfield site as a redevelopment area. The site adjoins industrial uses in Phillipsburg and has over 3,000 feet of frontage along Route 22. A mixed-use commercial industrial complex is envisioned. On August 23rd in 2006, DCA's Office of Smart Growth approved it as an area in need of redevelopment. Subsequent to that, the ordinance was adopted by Lopatcong. So that's under LRHL, which is the Local Redevelopment and Housing Law. It was under that law that was designated an area in need of redevelopment, and it encompasses the entire site, both the part that's in Phillipsburg and the part that's in Lopatcong. There's also an administrative consent order that was issued by New Jersey Department of Environmental Protection in 1994, and it oversees the numerous areas of concern regarding hazardous waste contamination, 24 monitoring wells, 17 recovery wells. Sampling shows elevated levels of chlorinated volatile organic compounds and petroleum hydrocarbons. Block 101 lots 1 and 1.01 are the lots in question in Lopatcong, and they are deed restricted to include both residential use and the use of the groundwater for human consumption. And that is a deed restriction on record in perpetuity. This is a slide to show you the site. This is the entire site, it's about 343 acres. This is the portion in Phillipsburg. This is the portion we're discussing today as part of Lopatcong. As part of their petition for plan conformance, they had asked for a regional master plan update to show that this is indeed a contaminated site. Previously in our mapping, we had only shown this side of it, but it is indeed one site, the entire of which is covered by the ACO from DEP. So being a factual update, that would be part of your approval today, is that that update which shows this as a contaminated site. Again, this gets into that RMP update to recognize it under our mapping as a highlands contaminated, under our highlands contaminated site inventory, which is recommended to you by the staff. In terms of the Highlands Redevelopment Area, the Highlands Council approval today does not approve the site as a Highlands Redevelopment Area. What it does do is it approves funding and technical assistance to further study that designation and to look at the feasibility of that. And so that would have to be formally approved by the council at a later date, because if you recall, you did not designate that authority to your staff. So that would come back to the Highlands Council. But in the meantime, if you approve their petition today, as part of that approval, you approve the implementation plan schedule and the grant funding associated with that, which would allow Lopatcong to do that feasibility analysis. But please recall and remember that it is already under DCA recognized as an area in need of redevelopment.
Why would we need a further study?
Because of what kind of infrastructure could be available, what kind of commercial and industrial type planning they want to do on the site. They have had some work in looking at solar potential on the site. We've talked with the Department of Environmental Protection about the status of the cleanup. They see the area divided into various components. Some of those, the department has told us, that are ready for redevelopment, right? They could be made ready very easily. Others still have a lot more work to do in terms of capping and cleanup. So the feasibility study would look at the infrastructure to support whatever kind of development they're looking at, the potential perhaps for that solar on some areas of it. So to get a real plan for the entire site.
Is commercial development be permitted?
Commercial and industrial development would be permitted.
And the ACO said that there would be never residential development. You could never use the groundwater.
It wasn't actually.
It doesn't seem to make sense to me that you can't have residential development. You can have commercial development. People are going to be working there, drinking the water. I guess it would have come somewhere else. But it doesn't seem to make too much sense that you can have commercial, but you can't have residential. Because it's still going to be disturbed. The site will be disturbed, and there will be people working.
Well, first of all, let me just explain that it wasn't actually the Department of Environmental Protection that issued that deed restriction. It was issued as part of the sale of the property from Ingersoll Rand to Phillipsburg Associates. And as part of that, I believe it would be a question of liability. It was part of that sale. And the actual language, as it pertains to the lot in Lopatcong, is no residential use, no portion of the property hereby conveyed shall be used or occupied either temporarily or permanently for residential use of any kind or nature. This use restriction shall run with the land in perpetuity, and shall be binding on grantee and its successors and assigns, and may be enforced by grantor and its successors and assigns. And then there's a further restriction on drinking water that would prohibit wells in that area for potable use. But the in talking with the Department of Environmental Protection, they did not issue these restrictions. And it is customary in brownfield cleanups for the department to determine the level of the cleanup consistent with the end use. So the department would call for greater cleanup use if properties are to be used for residential. And it's customary that in other cases the department would allow commercial and industrial. But in this particular case, restriction has not been imposed by the department. And in fact, in our conversations with the Department of Environmental Protection, we did check on the status of the cleanup. And they gave us a report out on the cleanup, but as I said, they split it into various areas. So for example, on the main facility, they said that some buildings are still in use by the tenants, and the area still has some work to do, capping and other cleanup work. The area is not ready for development. The new landfill is still open, not ready for development anytime soon. Camera on site, which is lots 5 and 6, but they're not the ones in Low Pat Kong, they said that's pretty much complete. The old landfill and foundry, that's the area where they're currently looking at potential for solar. That appears to be viable and appears to be ready for that. Farm and the undeveloped areas that we're looking at, they see no real impediment to redevelopment at this point in time because of the cleanup that's happened. So that's from the Department of Environmental Protection.
What is it being used for right now?
Currently it's just farmed, but not
remotely.
It's
just farmed.
It's under agricultural use. Yep.
Was it ever referred as a Superfund site or by DEP?
I don't believe so.
We don't have any of the information we called from. They didn't give us any information on Superfund.
So it's a deed restriction that you're talking about?
But the deed restriction is by virtue of the sale that occurred. I think it was a liability issue potentially when it was sold by Ingersoll Rand to Phillipsburg Associates.
Who's doing the cleanup or who's responsible? The Phillips Associates?
Ingersoll Rand are responsible for the cleanup and are regularly reporting out to the Department of Environmental Protection, and in fact issued a fact sheet which the DEP sent to me on the status of the cleanup. And so they continue to meet the requirements of the Department of Environmental Protection, such that some areas of the site have been are now seen as pretty much ready for redevelopment, where others still have much work to do, because it's an extremely large site.
And the entire site is considered brownfield?
Yes. It's all under the ACO.
It is?
Yes.
How large is the redevelopment area in La Patcombe?
93 acres.
In La Patcombe?
Yes. So if you, I could go back and slide. Okay, if you look at it here, Mimi, this is the site. The red line shows you Phillipsburg. So this is all Phillipsburg. This is the area in La Patcombe. It's about 93 acres.
That's 22.
That yeah, now I think that's important, Bill, is to look at, when we look at sites like this, we look at them at each site specifically. So you take into consideration that it's a contaminated site. You also take into consideration existing development. This is Route 22, which goes up here. This is Route 57 along here. And there's a good deal of development here. So this piece is separated from the other pieces over here, which are in agriculture.
But it is in an ag zone, though.
When we did our mapping, it's done at a level where we didn't look at the... it is conservation zone. That's how it was picked up by the model. It wasn't in our mapping as a contaminated site until we do the regional master plan update, because when we looked at the DEP data, we saw the point here for contaminated sites. But having looked at the entire site and getting the information from the Department of Environmental Protection and working with the professionals in Low Patcombe, they gave us all the information to show that the entire site is contaminated. And under the Highlands Act, the Highlands Act set forth a goal for redevelopment opportunities in brownfield sites, greyfield underutilized, also in or adjacent to already developed areas. So taking that into consideration, the zone is sort of set aside where you see that it is a redevelopment area. Even if it was We have another very large contaminated site in the Highlands, which actually part of it falls within the protection zone. Likewise, you don't look at the zone when you look at the redevelopment potential. You look at the features on the site, and you look at other conditions such as infrastructure and other developed areas around it. So it is a site-by-site decision.
Right, but it is part of an agricultural resource area.
It is.
So that's a bump up from just being an agricultural use, and it's in the conservation zone.
Right.
And hasn't been changed yet.
No, and we didn't see the need to change the zone, because when you change it to redevelopment area, it changes. The use then can become different to what you would assume in the conservation zone.
But you said this vote today would not change it to a Highlands redevelopment area.
That is correct, it would not.
So
it would provide the funding to look at feasibility.
It's not a redevelopment area at this point in time. So
under the Department of Community Affairs it is, because it's being, and under the municipal ordinance it has been recognized as an area in need of redevelopment.
But I mean under the RMP.
Under the
RMP, the prevailing classifications are conservation zone and agricultural resource area at this point in time.
And contaminated site, should you so approve, as part of, because it's part of the petition before you today. But I do want to point out that I did reach out to the Department of Ag, in fact to Monique Purcell, to discuss this, because again, we look at each individual site specifically and the facts pertaining to that particular site. So I did reach out to Monique.
In what regard?
To ask her opinion and to tell her what our findings were and to talk about what our recommendations were today. Because if Monique had a different opinion, that would certainly be taken, and the Department of Ag had a different opinion, that would be taken into consideration.
And their opinion was?
I think that they supported our view, but I would certainly not wish to speak for Monique. But Monique is here to speak for Monique.
Yes, the department fully supports the idea here of looking at the site as a potential redevelopment site, and currently it's just being rented out. It's owned by Ingersoll Land. The property is contaminated. It's undergoing cleanup, and it makes complete sense being surrounded by development, adjacent to existing development, and potential for infrastructure to become an area where we can focus potential commercial development or whatever may happen. So we feel that it would be much more productive and useful for the ag community to have that site identified as such, as opposed to keeping it there.
The contamination.
You wouldn't want to grow tomatoes or anything there, would you, if it's contaminated?
Well, is the contamination like groundwater?
Yes.
Or both. The site has numerous soil areas of concern.
So
the entire site, the 300.
They were dumping there. Is that what it was?
Various industrial activities since early 1903.
To give you an idea, Kurt, brief, equipment manufacturing and testing facility at the site dating back to 1903 consisted of more than 50 buildings, two landfills, an iron steel foundry, and an experimental mine. It included a manufacturer of a variety of drills, compressors and pumps, assembly of railroad locomotives and various metalworking, finishing, boiler and maintenance operations. As part of the drill, compressor, and pump manufacturing process, facility received metal casings from the foundry for finishing. The completed drills, pumps, compressors were tested in various locations on the site, including concrete-lined pits and in the off-site mine.
And that particular ground never, this particular piece in Lepaco never had buildings or structures on it, is that correct? It was just...
To the best of our knowledge, this was not any of those buildings.
Back 60 years ago, there was a wheelbarrow full of waste, and just go over there and dump it, and because that vote was accepted, and that's how this piece became contaminated, basically, correct?
Well,
and maybe seepage from the proximity through the groundwater.
Yes, they do say that in the 1970s, fuel oil was discovered floating on the groundwater table. Studies identified the area where the oil was located, included the installation of a network of soil borings, monitoring wells, and recovery wells to sample soil, monitor groundwater, and remove the oil.
Does the factory use it all anymore, or is it completely shut down?
Some parts of it are currently being used for pharmaceutical, a variety of operations, including pharmaceutical research, light manufacturing, warehousing and distribution and office space. That's currently, but it's very minimal, apparently. Okay.
Please do.
what I was, has reached this point where we were talking about the petition from the Lopatcong Township and the timing of saying their petition was submitted in 2009 in December and deemed administratively complete at the end of March of 2010 and posted to the Highlands Council website subsequent to that. The draft consistency report was sent to the municipality December 16th, and the final draft report was posted to the Highlands Council website February 17th. The end of the public comment period, which started on February 17th, ended March 4th. The final report was posted to the Highlands Council website on the 15th of March, and that brings us to today, which is the public hearing on the petition. Going through the various modules, and just to remind the public that the PowerPoint is posted to our calendar page and becomes part of the record. So we do go through these modules for all the petitions. Modules 1 and 2 are the build-out report, working with the Highlands Council and the municipality, and the result of that finding was consistent. The housing plan, which is module 3, which is your affordable housing, the consistency finding on that also consistent. Module 4, environmental resource inventory, consistent. Module 5 is the master plans plan element, also consistent. And module 6, land use ordinance, also found to be consistent. The petition for plan conformance, module 7, Lopatcong's submittal was based on all the Highlands Council models and is also considered to be consistent. Public comment period, as I said, was opened February 7th, closed March 4th. We gave notice in area newspapers and on our website and through our council alert system. We received comments from the New Jersey Farm Bureau and Jeff, the Association of New Jersey Environmental Commissions, and from New Jersey Highlands Commission. Going through the comments received, the full comments and responses are posted, but this is the summary. Helen Heinrich on behalf of New Jersey Farm Bureau. The first comment was that the New Jersey Farm Bureau believes that Ingersoll Rand property offers much more to the future of agriculture if it were to become a significant receiving zone in the Highlands TDR program than it would if it was kept in agricultural production, and asked the Highlands Council to help the town make this a planning priority. I do want to let you know that Lopatcong did do a feasibility analysis for TDR, but they were looking primarily at residential, and of course this site cannot be used for residential. We will encourage them to consider what the future use is and if there is any potential for increased zoning such that you could use TDR on the site. The New Jersey Farm Bureau endorses the condition requiring a review of the township's right to farm ordinance and development of agricultural retention and farmland plan. We can talk about that more as we get into the implementation, what we're proposing to do with the municipality. In response to that, we acknowledge their support and we'll work with municipalities to address compliance with the Right to Farm Act. This is very similar to when Kurt asked me about our coordination with the department. We coordinate with the department on all of these kind of issues, and only recently we have a municipality working on the right to farm ordinance. And any work said to us, if it isn't consistent with the model, we ask the Department of Agriculture to assist us with that. So we'll continue in that way to make sure that we coordinate with the Department of Ag such that they're satisfied with the outcome of these ordinances. There was also some concern over certain sections of the Highlands Land Use Ordinance. The concern was that it was misleading conforming municipalities that they could rely on what measures they've adopted in the past to deal with farming or determine new provisions as they develop and adopt the Highlands Land Use Overlay. So these kind of concerns, I think, can again best be addressed with the coordinated effort between the Highlands Council and Department of Ag to make sure that things are done in a consistent manner with the models that have been given by the Department of Agriculture. They're also concerned, that is the New Jersey Farm Bureau, that the process for woodland owners to obtain the exemption number 4 is not clear. And there's conversation then about township officials being provided with appropriate training review and also the question about a state forester. With regard to this, we want to make it very clear that the provisions of this section, in fact, all provisions of the Highlands Land Use Ordinance, apply to development activities that are regulated under the Highlands Land Use Ordinance not to exempt activities such as exemption number 7. And that's made clear in the ordinance, and there are also further exclusions under a section of the ordinance. Actions to improve forest health and productivity, generally conducted under a woodland management plan, or either minimus actions associated with existing land uses, are not regulated under the Highlands Land Use. Any activity conducted under the auspices of an approved woodland management plan or the normal harvesting of forest products in accordance with State Forest or approved forest management plan, again, are exempt from the provisions. And in fact, from the entirety of the Highlands Land Use Ordinance. So I want to make that very clear. Comments from Dave Piper on behalf of the Association of New Jersey Environmental Commissions. The parcels, this pertains to the redevelopment site that we were just talking about. I should be careful how I phrase that. Redevelopment site is recognized by DCA, a contaminated site as under our regional master plan update. ANJEC contends that these are environmentally constrained, and to designate the site as a Highlands redevelopment area will place the sensitive features at risk due to New Jersey Department of Environmental Protection's ability to grant waivers. Now, my understanding of this comment then is it reflects the kind of work you've been doing in designating redevelopment areas, which then go to the department for waivers. But in the case of this particular site, this is in the planning area, therefore it does not go to the Department of Environmental Protection for those waivers. This is not done through the preservation area, so it's somewhat different. The comment goes on to say that the parcel is part of a larger agricultural resource area, and designation of a redevelopment area would conflict with the regional master plan policies regarding AR agricultural resource areas. Designation would place prime agricultural soils present at risk and eliminate agricultural uses. The site is not currently served by water or sewer infrastructure. ANJEC questions the brownfield status of the site and is concerned about the underlying carbon black issues. I did talk about the fact that about the waiver provision. The 1994 administrative consent order by the department identifies the entire site as a brownfield site and includes the numerous areas of concern of alleged hazardous waste contamination, and results of sampling show the elevated levels of those VOCs that we spoke about earlier. The portion of the site in Lopatcong, Block 101, Lot 1, and 1.01 is deed restricted, as I spoke about earlier, by virtue of the sale that occurred on the site. Highlands Council has not yet designated that Highlands redevelopment area. And that's again important for you. Today, what we're doing is looking at the finance. Sorry?
Just curious, so why aren't we doing that? Why aren't we prepared to designate that as a redevelopment area?
I think because all the work hasn't been done to talk to you about what the infrastructure needs would be on the site, what the intended use would be on the site, such that you would be comfortable in saying yes, that this would meet the needs and meet consistency with the regional master plan. But what you would be doing is, as part of the implementation plan and schedule, is granting the funds so that they could do that full study.
And do we have any idea when that the work will be complete so that we'd be able to designate it?
Well, we give them the plan implementation schedule. I'd have to check it to see if we have timing.
It's $10,000 for fiscal year 2011 and 2012. So over the next year, essentially.
Now, should they complete it earlier, Mimi, that's fine. We try to allow sufficient time for them to do the work, but if they complete it earlier, that's fine too.
But if they finish the $10,000 and they want more money to go into 2013, I guess they can do that.
They would have to. What we do is you set forth an amount of money for the grant, the plan implementation grant schedule. They cannot exceed the total amount of that. If they end up with more money available because they can spend so much in another area, the possibility is there. But for anything that would exceed the total amount granted by you through the process today, if you approve the petition, then we would come back to you for approval. Similar to what we did, if you recall, for Byron Township, when they needed more because of the work they were doing on their center. So we bring that back to you.
So you just have to get it done.
working on it.
Also, we just wanted to bring back to your attention that the Highlands Act requires the council to promote brownfield remediation and redevelopment in the Highlands region, and that very same goal is in the regional master plan. Further, the Highlands Act dictates redevelopment and economic growth in or adjacent to already developed areas. And I bring that to your attention because it's important to note that even when we do see contaminated sites, that alone isn't sufficient information to determine what the end use will be or the end result of that site. You have to look at other factors such as infrastructure and such as existing development. And so all of those are taken into consideration on a case-by-case basis as we look at these sites. The regional master plan also puts great emphasis on the reuse and redevelopment of previously developed areas, including brownfields, grey fields, and underutilized sites. And one of the policies encourages and supports restoration and redevelopment of contaminated areas. So the staff certainly believe, and in response to Anja, that this is consistent with the Act and with the regional master plan. In terms of the agricultural soils, when we did the designation of the prime agricultural soils, it doesn't take into account any site-specific soil contamination, but is based on NRCS soil surveys. Therefore, the mapping of prime ag soils will not always be supported by those sites, by site-specific information. Finally, and this just gets back to the comment I made earlier, that as a planning area site, it's not subject to the NJDEP permitting authority under the Highlands Act, so the waivers under 7:38 are not applicable in this case. Comment number two, ANJEC contends that municipalities with shared infrastructure, such as water supply and sewer, the petition for planning performance not be dealt with individually, but rather through a sub-regional planning structure. I can tell you that the Highlands Council staff is very aware of the regional view, and we do look at issues that we did through the build-out process in each of the municipalities where there's shared infrastructure. However, you know that municipalities are moving ahead at different rates, and so to hold one municipality up for others wouldn't be fair to that particular municipality. We do identify intermunicipal issues, and we do discuss those with the municipalities and their professionals as we move forward. As more municipalities come into conformance, we can always take a second look at these issues, working with the municipalities to recognise really regional planning entities.
I just want to address Mimi's question. The other issue we have is Phillipsburg has submitted a petition, and this site is only going to be addressed through a coordinated approach through Wapakoni and Phillipsburg. They have interlocal service agreements between them on this site, so it's going to require a coordinated redevelopment area designation, not a unilateral one through Wapakoni.
Comments from Julia Summers on behalf of the New Jersey Highlands Coalition. The Coalition does not support approval of the petition and recommends that the Council deny it. They understand and encourage the Council's enthusiasm to conform as much of the Highlands as possible, including the entirety of Lopatcong. However, they do not believe the Council should be compromising on implementation of its regional master plan in order to achieve that goal, and they believe the Council is being held hostage to the Township's wishes as the Council works to conform both preservation and planning areas of the Township. The response from the Highlands Council staff and our recommendation to you is that in no way would the Highlands Council consider the petition to compromise the goals of the Act or the provisions of the Regional Master Plan. The Highlands Act mandates active promotion of the redevelopment of brownfield sites and dictates redevelopment and economic growth, again, in or adjacent to already developed areas. It's a clear goal of the Act and the Regional Master Plan to discourage development on environmentally and agriculturally significant lands, but to promote the redevelopment of brownfields and greyfields. So again, we look at each site on its own merits to make recommendations to the Council. And we certainly did so when we were looking at this particular site in the platform. The Coalition also contends that the site being considered for redevelopment designation, that is again block 101, lots 1 and 1.01, is constrained by deed restriction, environmental constraints, and is not a brownfield. The response to that is, as specified in the administrative consent order, in the response above, the site includes hazardous waste contamination, and sampling results have shown elevated levels of chlorinated volatile organic compounds and petroleum hydrocarbons. The nature of the deed restrictions and the conditions with regard to development of the site shall be addressed through the Highlands Redevelopment Area planning process and site design, as well as any suggested modifications to remediation activities associated with the site. Again, we coordinate not just in the case of, in this case, with the Department of Ag, but also with the Department of Environmental Protection, and have been addressing the cleanup and remediation of the site with them. But the site is recognized in its entirety, both in the Phillipsburg and Lopatcong portions, as a contaminated site covered by the ACO. The deed restriction, as we've said earlier, was part of the sale. The next comment is that if the Ingersoll Rand site is considered a brownfield appropriate for redevelopment, that reasoning would suggest the entire Pohatcong Superfund site, in other words, tens of thousands of acres of the Musconetcong Valley's prime farmland, should also potentially become brownfields and therefore eligible for redevelopment area designation, which the Coalition believes is not what the Regional Master Plan calls for. We do very much understand the comment and the concern, and I think it goes to precedent issues and concerns that where plumes are in existence, that these areas be all seen as potential redevelopment areas. But again, and I can't re-emphasize this enough, we look at each site for its own particular unique circumstances. And the use of brownfield properties for redevelopment is highly dependent on the nature of the brownfield, its location relative to other development, and supporting infrastructure and other factors. So we look at roadway systems, old transportation systems, waste, water, proximity of development, whether, you know, when it's, in this case, it's Route 22, cuts it off and developed areas along Route 22. And also taking into consideration issues such as the fact that it is recognized under the local redevelopment and housing law as an area in need of redevelopment in both Phillipsburg and Lopatcong. And is adjacent to areas of public water supply and wastewater infrastructure. And this situation we see as markedly different from that of a sprawling area of contamination that has little or no relationship to existing development patterns or indeed to infrastructure that would be available to those areas. So we do understand the concern, but again, we have to look at these as we see them side by side. Comment number four was that under the present co-owners, Lopatcong still must provide 31 growth share units on conforming sites not yet identified. The Coalition questions whether this will be possible, and they need to be reassured that the township can meet its obligation. Lopatcong's plan only indicates 8 accessory apartment units whose locations are as yet unidentified, not 31 units as indicated in the comment. Accessory apartment permits do not need to identify specific sites at the time of submission of a fair share plan, and that's consistent with COA's rules. The final consistency review and recommendations report by Highlands Council notes the accessory apartment program will include lots serviced by septic systems and domestic wells. However, the exact locations of the units are not known at this time. To be consistent with the Regional Master Plan, any accessory apartments to be serviced by septic systems will have to meet the nitrate dilution standards applicable to land use capability zones in which they will be located or be exempt from the Highlands Act. So we do believe that we have responded to that comment sufficiently. Further, the Coalition says that the final draft report notes, with respect specifically to Highlands Redevelopment Area designation, it is recognized that there is potential for a coordinated redevelopment effort between the municipalities of Lopatcong, Phillipsburg, and Alpha, all three of which have submitted petitions for plan conformance. Highlands Council looks forward to exploring the potential for such a coordinated effort with the three municipalities. And that's in the comment from the Coalition, but it's a quote from our consistency report to the municipality. So I think that really does tell you that we're looking at it from a regional perspective, and we anticipate working with Phillipsburg, in fact, already are, and indeed Alpha on this. The Coalition encourages the Council to pursue that cooperative effort, and we acknowledge and agree with that. The next comment was that funding has been allocated for a number of plans, all of which they support. We acknowledge that, and that support. One of those plans is for feasibility for redevelopment areas within Lopatcong. That brings us to the end of the public comments and our report, our response to those, and that brings us to the petition disposition. The staff recommendation to the Highlands Council is to approve with conditions. The proposed conditions are as follows, and they are the normal conditions you have applied to the petitions. Adoption of an approved checklist ordinance, planning area petition ordinance, which is required by law, the completed adoption of the completed environmental resource inventory, completed master plan Highlands element, the completion and adoption of the Highlands land use ordinance, the adoption of updated zoning map, a wastewater management plan, and in the case of municipalities that are conforming in their entirety, the Highlands Council has been doing the work of preparing the wastewater management plan. And in fact, we have sent our first model of down to the Department of Environmental Protection, and they have given us back their comments on it, so we're close to having an agreed upon model so that we can continue this work with the municipalities. And the another condition is compliance with Fair Housing Act COA certification. A condition requires updates on code proceedings and council review of any proposed changes to the fair share plan and housing element. Knowing the fact that things are changing, you know that we can change and respond to any legislative changes with regard to affordable housing and assist the municipality in maintaining compliance. We also require update and or development and implementation of water use and conservation management plan, stormwater management plan updates, habitat conservation management plan, land preservation and stewardship program, septic system management slash maintenance plan, sustainable economic development plan, right to farm ordinance, cluster development plan, agricultural retention plan, stream corridor protection restoration plan, Highlands redevelopment area planning. A look back at previous grants that have been given to LOPATCOM. They had received a fair share planning grant for the development of their housing element and fair share plan. That work is complete. The TDR feasibility grant that I spoke about earlier, that is also complete. The finding was the potential receiving zones were limited due to both zoning and infrastructure. One site assessed was the Ingersoll Rand property. But as I did point out, the focus was on residential, which cannot occur on that particular site. So we can take another look at this as we work with the municipality moving forward. Their initial assessment plan report is also complete. Their water use and conservation management plan, they are one of the pilots. That work is ongoing with the Highlands Council staff and the consultant Camp Dresser Key. Now, included in their implementation plan and schedule, which is part of your approval today, grant funding is proposed for sustainable economic development plan to enhance and provide for sustained economic viability, optimization of the township's limited growth capacity. Highlands redevelopment area plan, I think we've spoken about that a lot today. Habitat conservation and management plan. Stream corridor protection and restoration plan. And just some other ones that I thought would be interesting for you to acknowledge. Ag retention farm preservation plan. Cluster development for ag resource area. All of that funding is set forth in the implementation plan and schedule because, as you know, the Highlands Act mandated that municipalities be reimbursed for the reasonable cost associated with plan performance, and all of this is implementation of consistency with the regional master plan, and thus you will be doing that, those grant opportunities if you approve their petition today. And that concludes our presentation, and council deliberation may begin.
Thank you, Lily. I'm impressed, as always, by the comprehensiveness.
That's okay. You're back on.
I'm back on.
Yes.
Of the presentation. Of the presentation. I'm just picking up.
I heard. Thank you.
Just trying to retain the thread. And although these seem lengthy, this is important for what the Highlands Council has prided itself on for a very long time, since the beginning, which is transparency of our process. So it's important that we make these comments and that everything that the staff has done be well known to the public. And I thank you, Evan, for all that. I thank the staff, Chris, everybody else in the community right here. So thank you. May I have a resolution on, a motion on the resolution?
Can I ask a question?
Why don't you make a motion first?
I'd like to make a motion, if you're not ready. I'd like to make a motion that we table this resolution at this time. We do not consider it today.
Is there a second?
I'll second it.
Okay. Yes, go ahead.
The reason is because...
With all due respect, tabling doesn't allow for discussion. Table is made,
okay.
Seconded, and there's no discussion on a motion to table.
No discussion on a motion. Just a group.
Check your Robert's rules. There's no discussion allowed on a motion to table.
Yes, so we're right. We'll go right to a little track.
Yeah, really.
Thank you, Kurt.
Councilmember Halstead?
No.
Councilmember Carluccio?
Yes.
Councilmember Cogger?
No.
Councilmember Francis?
No.
Councilmember Holtaway?
No.
Councilmember Kovach?
Yeah.
Councilmember Letts?
No.
Councilmember Richco?
Yes.
Councilmember Vizioli?
No.
Acting Chairman Schreier?
No. What is the count?
Eight no's.
Okay. Thank you, Tracy. May I have a motion on the resolution to approve?
Make a motion, Mr. Chairman, to approve with the outlined conditions.
Second. Thank you, Mr. Zula. Any discussion by the council at this time?
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, I think that the redevelopment aspect of the RMP was always very important to me, and I think it's very important to this application. I would just like to know if there's some way that we can have a timetable for getting an update on how the planning for the redevelopment area is going. You know, could we have a quarterly report, or what would make sense without posing another burden on the staff? I think it's important that we stay on top of it.
The work will be led by the municipality in that we provide the grant funding. If you would like us to ask them in this particular case to give us whatever you think is reasonable, every 3 months or every 4 months, to give us a report, we'd be glad to do so. I mean, I think it's in, they want to do this work, so I think they'd be eager. Or we could just say whenever there is news to report, to keep us in the loop, and we report out to you.
Since I might still be around in another year. You know, I would be interested in being kept up to date as to how it's going.
So could we work with the municipality, establish a schedule and report out the next
year? Maybe once every quarter or something, just, you know, where do we stand, how is the planning going?
If I may, yes. Give you a little background.
Well, why don't you come up to the seat? You may have some additional comments at this stage, too.
Hi, Garrett Van Vliet, Planning Board Chairman of Lopatcong Township. If I may, this particular site has been trying to happen. Both Phillipsburg and Lopatcong have been trying to redevelop it for almost 10 years. So progress has not been really expeditious, as I should say. So I think if something happens, we would be more than happy to report back to you. But to put it on a timeless basis of every quarter, I don't know what we're going to be able to report except no progress. So if you would like that, I mean, I have no problem with that. But we'd be more than happy to coordinate with your professionals on what's happening. We'll be coordinating with them anyway on whatever we accomplish or whatever's coming in there. So
are you saying, though, that this process could go on another 5 or 10 years?
It very well could have. We've had developers come in due to the economic situation that we're in now throughout the country. Several developments have not come to fruition. We've expended a lot of time, energy, and money trying to bring people in. Constantly have inquiries about the property, but nothing's really developed from it so far. So, I mean, that's the situation we're in now. The township wants to see the property developed. It's part of the economic viability of Wapakon continuing. So it's one of the areas we really would like to see redeveloped commercially, since we are under the restrictions of residential development in that area. But so far, we haven't had a lot of progress on the redevelopment of that property. But we want to maintain the option of being able to develop it.
But with the additional funding, the grant funds that you've been allocated, shouldn't that help to move it along?
It will certainly help it move it along in the aspect of being able to determine what it's going, what we can put on there. We've had a lot of viable inquiries. We've had some that are really off the wall inquiries. I mean, we run the gamut from solar farms being out there to a community center that had residential in there, but we had to discount that because of the restrictions on the deed. So if we can determine what's available, I mean, from a planning board aspect, we don't get into the commercial viability of anything. I mean, we're there to enforce the rules and regulations of zoning in the township. We're not overly concerned. We wish everyone well in the development that they make money, but it's not our primary responsibility to make sure that they do make money. So, but we would like to.
Do you have a town planner that's actively involved in this process?
We do. We have a town planner, serves the planning board and also the redevelopment authority in town. One and the same. We've had several different proposals, as I've mentioned, and just nothing has come forth. It's the economic situation.
Yes, sir. The restriction on residential is between two private parties, am I correct? There's no governmental enforcement of that restriction.
As far as I know, no. The property transfer was from Ingersoll Rand to Preferred Properties, and in that deed, which was lengthy, there were some 72 pages of deed restrictions on it, all relating to the agreement from the Department of Environmental Protection, Community Affairs, I think it is, coming down there to restrict what can be put on the property.
But there's no, to our knowledge, there is no restriction on the property other than deed restriction between two private parties.
That is correct. Yes.
So if two private parties, I'm not saying they will, but if they decided to do something else, they could. Doesn't mean it would happen, am I correct?
Yes, but traditionally, Ingersoll Rand, as the responsible party, in all likelihood, wanted that deed restricted to protect themselves and their future liabilities.
I understand.
Mr. Chairman, if I could ask, who is your redevelopment entity?
The redevelopment entity is the town council. The governing body of the township.
Now, when you take a look at the Wapakon piece, redevelopment seems silly on a land that never had any development. Inconsistent definition, which caught my eye right away when I was reading the packet beforehand. As it was part of the original site, I guess that's how that arose years ago. It was all one piece of property and prior to the sale of Phillipsburg Associates. It was all one
it was
large
one
piece. The one of the things that's difficult for me to determine is when we listen to the issue of brownfield, how severe is it? I mean, what's the depth? What's the concentrations? What's the remediation? What's the rate of remediation? So many questions that do arise. My biggest fear is that this is the first exception, and this is really the first discussion we've had on any of all the applications we've done so far where a let's say, contentious, but the question has come up and we've had to review it. And a lot of times we will set a precedent in making these kind of decisions. And I just want to be careful that we don't set one that's disadvantageous for future preservation. And again, redevelopment, in my opinion, there should only be redevelopment. Right? We shouldn't be turning green ground in this day and age when there are sites that can be redeveloped. I did note that the Farm Bureau and the Department of Agriculture didn't place a high level on this, although our plan does, mostly due to its situation. It is isolated from the other farming, which makes it difficult. Route 22, I'm sure taking hay wagons across Route 22 is not anything anybody wants to do soon. My comfort level has increased a little bit, but the fact that by approving this, we are not giving it redevelopment designation. It is still an agricultural land. Going forward, if we vote yes, it's still agricultural, and we don't change the classification. But, I just feel that we really got to talk this out and make sure we're all comfortable.
Well, if I can, Michael.
In reference to your redevelopment, I'm more interested in the higher level plan that you might come up with, not specifically exactly what you're going to do there. In other words, if your planner has some concept for the use of redeveloping this, that's what I think we'd like to see, some reports if you make the progress or have another presentation to you. I'd like to have to progress at that. But on a higher level, I don't care how many units or where you're going to put them, but if he figures some redevelopment concept is appropriate for this, brownfield, and the brownfield changes all the rules pretty much. It's not green, it's brown. So I understand that because we're dealing with that locally too. So, you have a good opportunity to take advantage of a lot of stuff that the state has already helped you. They have already helped you by identifying, number one, the different areas that are contaminated. Number two, probably how severe they are in the particular different area. And so that might give you some comfort level where you're at, if I'm reading that right. You might have more opportunity to redevelop your section versus the section that might be really dirty. But I think I see it all in weld right there. Must be some concern with a plume that moves around. And see, that's what controls the brownfield, not so much whether it's farm field or factory or whatever. It's that stuff that moves around. And planted hydrocarbons have a way of doing that unexpectedly. So I understand that. But I'd like to see a higher level concept of what your planner comes up with as you move forward, and you're going to be using our grant money. We want to see where our money's going, quite frankly. So and maybe quarterly or, every few months. He has to be doing something sometime. If he's not, maybe you better look into that.
Whatever you would like, we would.
And there's nothing to matter, I don't think, with the town coming up with what they would foresee as a legitimate redevelopment plan. Even if you haven't been able to shop it around and get a potential developer or buyer or whatever, at least you would have a plan that you could present that made sense, that met your goals as a community and fit in with the Highlands plan.
Exactly. It's your town, and it's going to be your decision ultimately. We just like to be kept abreast of what you're going to be doing. It's not our town.
No problem.
So I'm a big believer in that. This is your town and your responsibility. And I'm confident that you'll come up with something.
We'll have our professionals set up a schedule of what you would like reported to and on.
Mr. Richard, we keep talking about redevelopment area, but as far as I know, it was never developed. This concerns me in the big picture that if we have a plume and it's, do we make forest areas brownfields because of it being contaminated? I don't think this is really a brownfield because it has never been developed. And we keep talking about redevelopment, but I just don't get that part. Why are we redeveloping something that was never developed?
Tom?
Well, the brownfield definition is broadly defined to allow for either brownfield development to redevelopment or brownfield development to greenfield development. So you may have a plume, as the college alluded to, in the middle of nowhere, where it's certainly not appropriate to take a brownfield and make it a developed area, make it a greenfield. You restore it to a natural state. So a brownfield, by definition, can go either direction. In this particular case, what the staff has recommended is that given its adjacency to existing developed areas, given its adjacency to infrastructure, Route 22, the fact that the agricultural lands are not connected, it's more appropriate, and that's why we're recommending we study it, as opposed to approve it, to examine whether it should be redeveloped.
Mr. Chairman, if I might, being very familiar with redevelopment, you're going to be driven by the economy. No mistake. You're going to be driven by this type of construction. You're going to be driven by that type of construction. You're going to be driven by this redevelopment company and so on. That's what's going to drive you, nothing else. However, you, as a township, have the ability to say, this is, you want to put this in? Well, this is what we want to see here. And you control that by your ordinances and so on. I wouldn't want to control that. But make no mistake, once you get underway, you have to be in the driver's seat.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree with you more.
Mr. Chairman? I'd like to speak against the resolution, approval of the resolution. One of the things that's bothering me is this is a highly contaminated site, and we don't know exactly where all of that is, but we do see that there's evidence of this highly contaminated site for the groundwater, perhaps the soils, VOCs, very difficult to remove. And, you know, we had talked about this at great length during the development of the RMP, and one of the concerns I always had was that we were going to be, through our brownfields program and our redevelopment program, putting development in inappropriate places. And that's why I was very supportive of the idea, and we did end up emphasizing the brownfields to greenfields idea in our plan, because sometimes it's better not to continue to use a site. Because of its location, its proximity to other things, but also because of the type of contamination that's there. We know it's so bad that the original owner insisted on a deed restriction that no housing be put there. It's got to be pretty bad. So, I mean, to me, it sounds like a Superfund site. I don't know why DEP had not referred it under CERCLA to the EPA a long time ago. I don't know the history on that. But I would just suggest that really, by approving this, we're moving ahead by accepting it as a contaminated site that's going to be studied for redevelopment. We're sort of cementing what I see as a fly in the ointment into the ointment, and we're saying, okay, we're going to redevelop this site as a commercial property. And Mr. Cogger even brought up, and it could be true, that the two parties would undo some deed restriction and, you know, develop it residentially even. So, I mean, I think at this point, the relevant classifications for us are that it's a conservation zone with constraints, environmental constraints, according to our land use capability map. It's also in an agricultural resource area, which means that it is contiguous to other agricultural uses. That's an aggregate of land. And it also means that it has high quality soils, according to the NRCS. So, with all due respect to the Farm Bureau and the Department of Agriculture, it doesn't seem as if their recommendations are tied to the use of, by the farmer there. It's more tied to, you know, what might be a political consideration for how to get this land developed or redeveloped, which I think I agree is a misnomer. And, you know, and I think what we really need to look at here is that this is underlain by karst. It has high contamination on the site. It's classified as a conservation zone that's environmentally constrained, and it's an ag resource in the ag resource area and currently being farmed. And by us changing all of that and moving it towards being a redevelopment site, I believe we are taking a wrong step without the information we need in order to take that step. So I think we should not approve this, or I would be open to an amendment which would remove this consideration of this site as a contaminated site and remove the funding for the continued analysis of that. But I cannot vote for this at this point in time.
This is in the preservation or planning area?
Planning area.
If the town didn't conform with the planning area, merely the preservation area, what reach or control would this council have in the property?
The limit of your controls in that case would be if they needed for the wastewater management plan, you would be required to determine consistency with that under the Department of Environmental Protection rules. If they need a water allocation permit, because of the use on this site, the Act requires statutory requirement for that they have to be consistent with the regional master plan.
Okay.
Absent those two, those are the only
controls. Those two, they can put a nuclear waste reprocessing facility there. We have no control over it, right?
We have no control of it.
Okay. I'm curious as to, I mean, it's absurd, but I mean, you got to think of it, no stars.
Get
to town. So basically what we're doing by making this a contaminated site is allowing the town to have funding to examine the potential uses, of which they'll report back to us. Right so far?
Clear on the, it's a regional master plan update. It's not actually, so it's a factual update. It is a contaminated site.
Okay.
So,
okay. But we recognize it. As such.
Correct.
Right?
Exactly.
They conform and they come in.
Right.
Now, still not a redevelopment site. They have to come back to us as a redevelopment site.
As a Highlands
redevelopment. Highlands redevelopment,
yes.
Site, because they're conforming willingly to the planning area.
Correct.
And at that point in time, if we decide that we don't like the redevelopment function that they've come up with, and we feel that it's not appropriate, we can deny that?
You can. And should they wish to move on and remove themselves from the conformance process, they can, because it's planning area. That it's always voluntary, as you know, in the planning area. But you are correct.
So we have almost an advisory role in the planning of this area, this site, as opposed to a preeminent role where we could control and say that there wasn't any development.
Correct.
Okay. Thank you.
I have a question for you, sir, Mr. Chair. How important is this site to you? I mean, for instance, if it were to be studied, approved today, and then be studied, and the council looks at it and says, you know, we don't want to approve this as a high-risk redevelopment area, would the township, is it so important to the township that the township would then consider, you know, no longer conforming in the planning area? Or how important is this piece to the township?
It's extremely important to the township economically, in that it's the last substantial piece of property in the township that can be commercially developed. With all of the other applications of the regional master plan in the township, we're virtually done as far as development in the town is concerned.
So this is sort of the centerpiece.
If this does not go, it would be a deal breaker.
So to me, what that says, Bill, according to what you're saying, is that all we're doing is giving money to move it towards being a redevelopment area, and it could be the deal breaker that makes the township back out of conformance for the planning area. I don't think we should be party to that. And why would do we want to move this along as a redevelopment area if it's not appropriate? I don't believe we have enough answers to say that it is.
Further studies may determine that it's not appropriate. Maybe some other things that will be, if I could use the word, unearthed as the studies go forward, that would help us make a better determination down the line if and when there's an application that comes in. And I think that would be true for what we'll back on as well. Of course, part of the study is information, and information will guide your actions. Curtis.
If this field existed without the deed restrictions imposed by Ingersoll Rand, it's in the planning area. It's adjacent to 22 and development on the other side, the industrial areas. If municipal zoning permitted industrial commercial use there, would we be having this discussion right now? couldn't they move forward with the commercial industrial use there anyway, regardless of its status as a brownfield?
Absolutely.
Yes.
So what's the difference? So what's the difference? I mean, to me, when you look at, I'm not playing solitaire here on my computer. I've got Google Earth on, and I've got the Highland site looking at the maps, and you've got Phillipsburg, and the western portion of Lepatcon is Phillipsburg suburban expansion, if I may. And so certainly the logical expansion for that type of use, given the industrial park that exists there right now, is some additional commercial use. If we're going to plan on a regional basis and we need to look at the entire region and decide where is it appropriate to put commercial industrial use, it's there. There's rail right alongside, so it's easy to put a rail siding in there. That's where it belongs. And so I think we need to keep in mind that it could be this anyway, regardless of the brownfield, the voluntary brownfield designation. Also, if I may, do you have excess water and sewer capacity in the municipality right now?
Yes.
You do. How are we taking advantage of that then? Because here's a town that has water and sewer capacity. We need to have sending districts for TDR. We need to designate some growth areas. So isn't this a real great opportunity?
That is the kind of study that goes into the feasibility analysis, and that is the kind of study when we were talking about looking at each of these specific sites under its own unique set of circumstances, we do look at the infrastructure capacity. Part of the feasibility analysis then is to see that whatever the end use they want on the site, do they have the infrastructure to support it? It's exactly what you did when you looked at the center of Elmira. And so this is all capacity-based planning. So that is taken into consideration. And one thing that I hadn't brought your attention previously, because it only happened recently, but it's germane to the question that Mimi asked, and I haven't discussed this with the municipality either, is that part of what we're doing as you move forward through these petitions is trying to bring the state agencies together to work with municipalities that have gone through this process. And as such, I reached out to the EDA, the Economic Development Authority, Executive Director Karen Franzini, and I asked her if her group of professionals would be willing to assist us and municipalities in looking at economic development planning. And she was very pleased to discuss this, and we're setting up a meeting where I'll meet with her and talk about this kind of planning and talk about perhaps assistance in review of the sustainable economic development plans that are sent to us. So just as we work with the Department of Ag on agricultural issues, I've been trying to reach out and get more help so that we have professionals on hand to assist municipalities, and then looking at potential grant funding. They have a lot more knowledge than we do in those kind of areas. But Kurt, we do look at all of those issues, and yes, we do try to consider where it's appropriate and what the infrastructure is to support it. And we do look at potential for use of TDR.
And one other question. We've acted on Hampton, we've acted on Glen Gardner. All these are adjacent to the proposed, perhaps, Raritan Valley line extension to Phillipsburg. Lepatcon, again, provides some suburban population to, I'd say, greater Phillipsburg. Is there any way that we're coordinating these towns together in a way to promote to transit and to Trenton the fact that they're, from a regional planning standpoint, it makes sense to reconnect rail service there again? What are we doing? What is the level of population in all these adjoining communities that are adjacent to the rail line that would utilize it? Is there anything that we're doing, or do we need to think about doing something to help promote that type of regional planning?
Kurt, let me interrupt. That's a broader question. I'd like to focus on this issue.
Well, it's Lepatcon. I beg to differ with you. Lepatcon is in many ways Phillipsburg, and we deal with these towns. I brought up transit before, with all due respect. And I think that we brush over these things sometimes, and I think that we need to keep in mind that each of these towns click together like a jigsaw puzzle into our regional master plan. And the whole reason we exist is to look at the whole region. We can't just say we're only going to look at Lepatcon just on Lepatcon's merits without considering the entire region.
No, we're not saying that, and I know that we're looking at it on a more regional basis, because that's what we do.
So that's what I'm suggesting, Mr. Chair, that we've got rail, we've talked to towns, or we've already approved towns, and my question is, or my directive is, what are we doing to promote a regional approach to that rail line where we have all these communities that we're approving?
We do look at this, and we do look at the infrastructure. We do look at shared infrastructure, be it transportation or other types of shared infrastructure. We do take it into consideration. We do talk to the towns about it. In the case of some of the municipalities you talked about earlier, we look at train stations, we look at capacity. Sometimes there is no further capacity in those areas because of other limiting factors. We always look for the limiting factors. In the case of LOPACOG, we're looking at, we as a staff have sat down and we talked to municipalities about centres and about shared centres and about the fact that if we work with them, you're correct, one by one, it sort of limits our potential in terms of centres. And so we're looking, in this area, we're looking at Phillipsburg, Alpha, LOPACOG, POHACOG, all together in terms of what their future potential is. So we do discuss these things and we do study them as best we can. Now, when there are greater opportunities of transportation, we'll have to take a relook at this because every time we do our capacity-based planning, if certain things change, we have to take a look at it. But all of that is considered by your staff.
Is this something possibly that we should invite the DOT to come in and share with us that, you know, we're moving some of these municipalities along that have these characteristics?
Maybe the DOT has given us comments on every single presentation to date. I was brought them to your attention first. They have acknowledged our work and the fact that we
I understand that, but maybe ask them to come in and discuss with us, with Kurt, whatever, the possibility of looking into some kind of improved rail service in that area.
If I may, we've just completed a study of transportation in all of those aforementioned townships. Warren County sponsored that for both rail, bus, automobile transportation. The property that we had in question with Ingersoll is proposed to be included in a major transportation shift within the Phillipsburg-Lopatcon access area. Right now, everything comes through Route 22, an intersection called Roseberry Street. It's a real bottleneck within that area. And by having an extension of Center Street through the Ingersoll property, eventually through the development of both properties, will eliminate a lot of local traffic going onto the highway into Pennsylvania in the evening. So we have the potential of the new Phillipsburg High School having pedestrian traffic go through that intersection. That's all been studied, looked at. There's recommendations been made by the DOT for that. So we've taken that into consideration for the entire area in Lower Warren County. There's also been a study by New Jersey Transit of the rail systems extending from Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, on through Easton and Phillipsburg into Jersey City, Newark, those areas, park and ride situations. There's a couple been proposed for Powhatan. Some were not as viable as others, and there's still a lot of area discussion. But those studies do exist right now, and they've only been completed within the last year and a half.
But your staff are involved in that as well. In fact, Chris Dennis is, Chris is here. She represents us and offers comments on these reports. We read them, so we're involved in those studies as well.
Mr. Chairman, just wanted to add that I think...
Excuse me, just one second, Tracy.
Yes.
Does that answer your question?
Yeah, I did. I had one more question, but I'll defer to Tracy.
Okay, well, I wanted to really, I was sort of in response, but spurred by what Kurt is saying. I think we also have to remember that the Highlands Council job is to look at it from the viewpoint of protecting the water that's produced and exists in the Highlands. So, you know, we're not a development agency. We look at what can be done in terms of human use in the Highlands through the prism of the environmental constraints that exist and protecting the resource. So I think, you know, it's all well and good to talk about, you know, transit centers and the mandate, as was in our report here, the mandate for redevelopment. But all of those mandates for redevelopment and transit and all of those human uses need to be put into perspective. And that's why we developed the RMP and spent so much time and money with our constraints mapping. And I think, you know, we really have to realize that, yes, brownfields are important, redevelopment is important, but what's most important is how is the resource going to be best protected by what we do. And everything has to go through that door before it goes anywhere. I don't see how allowing human use on a highly contaminated site is going to help anything. The human beings that are there, the groundwater underneath, the soils that may be disturbed through construction, I just can't see how we're helping our bigger cause along by developing a field that's part of the contaminated site.
Thank you, Tracy. We're not developing the field. We're doing something different here today. We have no application before us.
No, we're moving it towards that.
We're trying to learn more about that particular site so that we can make a better informed decision if and when the time does arise. And the town is going to keep us apprised of any applications that might come in, the viability from their perspective on it. And at the risk of sounding redundant again, I'm not redundant, I mean, the comment might be, we are the Highlands Water Protection and Planning Council, and I think that while you're correct about our concern for the environment and concern for water, we also are a planning agency, and we have to be a planning agency for the region. This is part of that part of the equation, too. So we are very concerned about the water and the environment. We've addressed a lot of those issues, if not all of them, to an nth degree in the regional master plan, which, as you point out correctly, took us a lot of blood, sweat, and tears to get to. I'm not saying that you're wrong. I'm just saying that we have to take a look at this from a larger perspective. Development has been neglected, in my view, in the regional master plan and in some of the applications that have come through and in the Highlands addressing some of these issues. If we have an opportunity to help a municipality, which desperately wants this, it's been made very plain, and we have no specific alternative to allowing this to go forward in terms of the study that we're going to promote, I think that it would be foolish of us to deny that. But that's just my opinion, and I haven't voted yet. I would like to open the meeting to the public for some comments.
I wasn't there.
Okay.
In the planning area, in the undeveloped areas of the planning area, I'm trying to get your zoning map up on here, and I haven't been able to do that yet. I know that the Ingersoll Rand spot is the last commercial development area that you're envisioning for the township in your master plan. What about residential development?
The only other residential area is a community center designation just east of the Ingersoll property. It's just becoming before the planning board this last year, has preliminary approval, but doesn't have final approval yet. It would go a long way to, it's an inclusionary housing development called Sycamore Landing, proposed to provide the township with 48 of the COA units that are required to meet our obligation. As I say, it's an inclusionary multifamily housing, which will give us additional credits for the COA housing option that we opted into. That's the last probably large housing development we will see in Wapaka. All the other properties are either agriculturally or environmentally constrained, not large enough lots to really build anything on. They're all outside of the sewer and water service area. So we would be into areas, especially with the karst conditions and some of the perking problems that are in Lower Warren County. The minimum lot size would probably be 10 acres for one home. On anything else that's available, if you know the homeowner wants to break up. Well, they're all basically agricultural lands. Well, Packland is unique in the fact from what we're talking about in the Ingersoll property is it's classified as an urban area. Less than half a mile away, we move into a suburban area, which is basically commuting houses. We go another three quarters of a mile, we're definitely classified as a rural area. The rural area butts up against the preservation area in Wapakon Township. We've tried in these years, we've been creating the Highlands Council and the rules and regulations to create a buffer zone between where the preservation area ends now and where our suburban area comes in. There's a golf course between that area. Some agricultural, there's a farm in there that's been preserved in that area. And so we've tried to create that buffer zone from where we have rural on through into suburban, and then the existing community center, which is basically an urban area. The Ingersoll property sits right in the urban area of Phillipsburg and Mopaca. Because of the constraints through the contamination site, that's why it was considered a brownfield for the needed redevelopment, and the perks that go along with having a redevelopment site up until this point has been classified as highway business. So as you pointed out before, there was really no reason that Ingersoll couldn't come in tomorrow and throw up an office building on that site. It's their property. So that's why we were concerned about that being the last commercially developable portion in Wapakon, being basically a suburban community and a farming community, is in need of a commercial development to keep the township viable economically. So I mean, that's what we're looking for. That, and we gave up large areas along Strikers Road down through Route 519 that borders into the buffer area from being developed. We wanted to opt into the Highlands planning area in order to preserve that. Definition Route 57 has been designated a scenic byway by the Department of Transportation, which has its own limits on it, so we kind of zoned and tried to protect that entire area for farming, agricultural, woodland areas, steep slope protection areas are up in that area. This sat right in the middle of a major highway, Route 22. There's a major shopping center development on either side. On the opposite side of the highway where Ingersoll is now, there's shopping center development. There's shopping center development on the same side of Route 22 where the Ingersoll property is located. So we thought it was a unique area, not that we're taking something out in the middle of where the Musconecton would be or something like that, that whole valley through there. And the township needed that as a commercial. We thought that was balance out everything that you're looking for to accomplish in the Pacon Township. So that was our view of what the township would look like.
Thank you.
Okay, I'm going to open the meeting for the public comment at this time. Any members of the public who wish to comment on this resolution, please come forward and identify yourself. Thank you, Mr. Guthrie.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Good evening. Yeah, good evening for staff in the department.
How are you having fun?
Just reiterating my comments earlier, we do agree with the staff recommendation. We have to remember that when the mapping was done, this was done at 30,000 feet, right? We're talking about conservation zone, ag resource areas. Those are done looking at contiguous acres, 250 acres pieces, I think, typically. So when we zoom in and we look at particular parcels, you know, we have to then look at the parcel that we're discussing. So I wanted to say that I really appreciate the staff's work in encouraging the town to look at this area as a potential redevelopment site. Obviously, it's a contaminated site at this point. So I think it's really important not to just assume, because it's in a zone of whatever it's called, that it means that every parcel within that zone is necessarily appropriate. So I just wanted to keep that in mind, and thank you very much. And our decision was not political. It's common sense.
Thank you. Ellen Heinrich, New Jersey Farmville. I'd like to call your attention to the maps on the wall over here. There's one map that shows the ag resource area, and I'd say 90% of the town is mapped in the ag resource area, even though it's covered with houses and streets and commercial areas and so forth. So as Monique said, just having that designation does not give you very much information at all. But we complain about this since the very beginning, that it's just too broad and can be taken into far greater consideration that should be, just like you've seen here today. We also support this petition for plan conformance, and we look forward to the town taking that money and really looking into the possibilities for this site. As long as there's a sign out there that says this is contaminated, nobody's going to grow a crop there that's worth anything. And it sounds like it would be years before it would be clean enough to raise corn or blueberries or raspberries for sale. So it looks to us like it is an opportunity to look into the possibility of maybe a receiving area of some kind, commercial receiving area that's permitted by the plan. And so we hope that the town will move quickly to do that. In the meantime, I can consult with the field representative from Farm Bureau and the Board of Agriculture every time one of these sites comes up. And you probably remember that another one that came up recently, we were concerned that it was going to be turned into habitat and environmentally sensitive, which would drive the tenant farmer off the property. That piece of property was being farmed and was important to that farmer. We found out when we did the homework to find out what was going on there. I tried with this one in this town to get as much information as possible, and this particular site was not on anybody's list of a place that they wanted to continue for its agricultural purpose. But I think looking at these big tracts there that the town has, I would hope, would do that ag retention plan, because there are going to be people that can't do anything but farm on a lot of those properties. And they need a good, strong, conforming right to farm ordinance. They need to look into greater agricultural uses and support of other kinds of uses. And they should look into preserving more acres of farmland than just 466. So I hope you will approve it, and you know, let the town and all of us go on with the process of trying to do what's the best here for the land and the water and the people.
Let me just ask Helen, so you're saying that it is not being farmed, was not farmed last year?
I'm not saying it's not being farmed. I'm saying, I mean, look at it. Probably somebody is growing hay to keep farmland assessment, but they can't sell it to equine farmers. They could probably sell it to contractors for mulching, but it's not being, as far as I can find out, not being productively, profitably farmed. And so it's not in somebody's portfolio of pieces of land to use.
Thank you. My name is Dave Pfeiffer. I'm Highlands Project Director for the Association of New Jersey Environmental Commissions. I don't think you appreciate what you're dealing with here. You have a 100-year-old or more industrial facility, dirty industrial facility, on top of cavernous limestone. This is the worst case scenario for successful cleanup. There's no telling where that water has gone for the last 100 years through that karst condition. A close look at the field that is under consideration here will show you that you can see a spot of trees down near Route 22. And Kurt, you know that farmers don't move around things in the field for no reason. There's something there, and I believe it's a sinkhole. Further southeasterly from the same location, there are two or three other features that appear to be flowing periodically, certain times of the year. So until there's a clear understanding of the extent of pollution from this site, I would hope that we would not go down the road to programming the surface uses. My comments about the waiver, I acknowledge I was wrong about the waiver.
But we do have a new piece of DEP regulation proposed that would allow them, under very broad conditions, to waive any provision of their rules. So, thinking about that in the current climate, and putting that up against the nightmare condition that's potentially there, I think you ought to be a lot more cautious than you're being today. Some other things, just to remind you, it is in the wellhead protection area right now. Two tiers of the wellhead protection area. And I'm concerned about going forward how the council is going to implement the provisions of the RMP in the CARS section. One in particular, policy 1K4, that says to ensure through plan conformance that municipalities in or within subwaterships draining directly to the carbonate rock area protect public health and safety and the quality of groundwater from inappropriate land uses and pollutant discharges. So we have a deed restriction on the property which prohibits residential use, but which by default then allows industrial and commercial uses. Now, should that be an appropriate use on top of karst limestone, polluted or not, I think is the question you need to be asking yourselves. And there are multiple policies that and objectives that come into play when you're in a karst zone. One of the reasons that I suggested in my comments that there be a regional effort here among the various communities that overlie that karst zone is that there is a commonality of groundwater aquifer. There have been problems in that aquifer, going back at least to the early 1980s. So good planning would tell us to plan by some kind of unit, whether it's a political unit, probably not the best, or some natural geologic unit. So please don't let that one slide away, that need for coordination among these various communities. Analogies today were made about Byram Township. Byram Township was a center designation process, and it was far more advanced than what we have in front of us today. There was an official map, there was form-based zoning, and there were multiple years, perhaps more than a decade, of planning that went into designing that center. What we have now is quite incomplete as compared to that. So, all in all, there has to be some way for you to be sure or more confident about the nature of that contamination and how it's playing out in the region around it before you go and start the process of programming for development. I understand the concerns that have been expressed about the need for the municipality to have the ability to do this, but the fact remains that we are looking at a contaminated site. We don't know the nature and extent of that as we sit here today. Somebody may, but we don't know it now. And I would urge you to press for a better and clearer understanding of that pollution concern. On the subject of farmland, it's nearly a 100-acre site, and we're chipping off a 100-acre parcel that is currently farmed. In some of the aerial photographs, it appears to have corn on it. But if you pull back a little bit and look at the farmland pattern of which this parcel is a part, You need to go to a higher elevation than the picture on the screen, but you'll see a sort of bulge of farmland that's being pinched on all three sides by development. So pulling out 100 acres on the edge of that, I think is going to increase the potential or the pressures on the other farmland in that at-risk area. It's not as if we're in the middle of Sussex County someplace. This is farmland under pressure now. So adding to that pressure, I think, is ill-advised. We'll stay in touch no matter what you do today. But I am terribly concerned about karst geology. And not all limestone is karst, but this is. So take care.
Thank you, David. I feel very comforted knowing that you're going to keep watchdog.
I have a chihuahua.
Julia?
I'm Julia Summers, New Jersey Highlands Coalition. I'm sure it was inevitable. This is the first time that we have opposed a petition, and I wish it were not so, but we thought long and hard about this and discussed many of the things that have been talked about today, but felt really, if we were going to be honest, we had to oppose this application, this petition. I thought that this might be a rare and special occasion of agreement between us and the Farm Bureau and the Department of Agriculture and with Kurt. But I suspect I know that is not true with the Farm Bureau now and the Department of Agriculture, and I suspect that will not be true with Kurt either. The ACO is confusing. I thank the Council for sending us a copy of it. There's no map on it. It talks in general terms about a plume. There is no clear indication where the sample points are, the wells are, although you can see a couple of them when you zoom in. Bing is a marvelous thing. It's even better than Google, and my future son-in-law works for Google, so I shouldn't say that, but it is incredible. You can fly around and Bing, and you can see these sample wells. But I think there's only one on this field. Most of what we were talking about...
Time's up.
You disapprove of what I'm saying. Most of what we heard talked about this site is in Philippsburg. It was talked about in general broad terms, but it was not specific to the field that we are talking about today. So there is a lot that we do not know about this site, and there is a great deal more. I think you've heard many cautionary requests this evening. There is a great deal more that we ought to know about this site before you take a step that, while you're saying this is not, you know, creating a redevelopment area here, there is no question that we are moving it down the road to becoming a redevelopment area. There's no question that it is limestone. There's almost no question that there are sinkholes on this site. There's no question from the flyovers. I mean, it is amazing to me, in the short time that we have been going through this process before the Highlands Council, where the first meetings, there were people coming totally alarmed that we could see what maybe was happening on the back 40 from the eye in the sky. And today we can see everything. It's just in that short period of time. But there is no question from those photographs, and one of them, that this is a disked field. It's actively in agriculture. And as Dave said in another photograph, there's corn being grown here. So somebody is farming it. And it is contributing to the larger agricultural mass, if we can call it that, that is here and that is getting smaller and smaller. There are two-year and five-year wellhead protection tiers. I would argue that this agricultural land is absolutely connected, and that looks to me like hoop houses right across the street. and these are prime agricultural soils. I completely agree that redevelopment should be for areas that have been developed before, that have had what the planning industry likes to call improvements. I'm not sure I would call many of them improvements, but there haven't been any improvements made to this site. So in ever. And so I would argue today that your approval will move this further toward its becoming a commercial development site. It does not recognize how you have mapped it. This is regional planning that you are trying to do. I recognize maybe there are some site-specific things that are going to come in, but this is 100 acres. It's a big, big site. And I think you will be setting a very poor precedent if you approve this petition as it is. And I appeal to you not to do so. Thank you.
Thank you.
Just an editor's note, what appears to be hoop houses is a self-storage unit.
Ah, thank you. But you still can get into the agriculture just fine, across the road. The chicken crossed the road, too.
So did the bog turtles.
Yes. Well, it was in the middle of the right.
Anyone else from the public care speak? Yes, sir. Winnie the Pooh did all right with 100 acres, didn't he?
Spent his whole life there.
Well, the last 15 minutes or so has been a period of rampant speculation. We have people that have x-ray eyes and can determine that there's sinkholes beneath a pile of trees over there. I have trees in my farm that don't have sinkholes.
Who are you? Could you identify yourself?
My name is David Shope, and I have a farm in Lebanon Township without any sinkholes, but I do have trees. Amongst the trees is a spot that farmers a long time ago piled huge rocks because that was the place to dump them. Subsequent to that, trees grew up through them. So why speculate when you can just simply find out? I hear nothing but alarmist talk here. And the representative from Opatcong, I bet you're wondering why you're here. Listening to what you've heard today, a whole bunch of different people talking about essentially the same law, the same master plan, with so many different views, that you must feel a bit like Alice in Wonderland. And if you do opt in to the planning area, 70-some-odd percent of your town, I hope you realize that you are opting in those people who live in the planning area to a severe set of regulations, some of them yet to be developed. And I have a copy here of the Highlands Model Ordinance Septic System Maintenance Option B, and in it says such things as license to operate. You're going to need a license to pull the handle on your toilet, or somebody in your house will. And whenever you give an activity a licensing requirement, you're looking for trouble, because this is just the beginning of an ever tightening noose on the part of the licensing agency to keep on making things more and more restrictive. And if you need any further proof of that, just look at what's happened to us who live up here in the Highlands. We have nitrate dilution standards that exist nowhere else in the world. We have groundwater recharge based on drought conditions. We're in a perpetual drought. We have a family size that DEP says is 4. When everybody else says it's 2.7, this is important because this is what determines nitrate dilution design and groundwater use. So we're living in a fairyland here. Right to entry, if you opt into something like this, and this came from the Highlands Council. It is their wish list. You can be sure that they're going to develop something right along these lines. This tells everybody what they wish for. Right of entry, blah, blah, blah. Upon presentation of identification, shall have the right to enter upon property where an individual subsurface sewer disposal system is located for the purpose of observation, inspection, monitoring, and or sampling of the on-site sewage disposal system. It also has the, it also suggests here that if there's a problem found with a septic system, it can be declared a nuisance. That has severe meaning in law. So I wonder why you're doing this to 70-some-odd percent of your township's property owners and residents. Why would you subject them to this kind of stuff when you don't have to? It's clear that if the bone that was being offered to you was redevelopment of the Ingersoll Rand site, that's sounding a little shaky. If it is what I call the COA bribe, that is to say a lesser number of COA units if you opt into the Highlands Master Plan than if you don't, that you may want to consider the value of that as well. I would suggest, I don't care what you do, but I would hope that Wapakoneta Township reconsiders this application. Take what happened today back to your governing bodies and discuss it with them. Thank you.
Thank you. Was there another hand up? No. Okay. Thank you. Public portion on this, public comment period on this is now closed. I would like to move to a vote. Maybe. Unless there are any other comments from the council.
You know, based on some of our previous discussions, could we ask that the consistency review and recommendations report, or somewhere in those reports, that we put in there the request that there be some type of quarterly reporting as yes, to how
the chairman agrees that,
and that will be done.
This whole 2 hour and 10 minute discussion, I've gone back and forth, yes, no, yes, no. And I think my mind was made up with the gentleman from Wapakoneta when he said that they hoped that this was the only area that they probably could develop, and all the other areas in the planning area, and that's why you opted to have to have compliance in the planning area, was because of all the other lands that you wanted to preserve. I hope that that land, the 93 acres, is never developed. I would like to see it stay as it is, and with the pollution that's there, I don't. It may be a very long time, or maybe never, that it will be approved. But I will vote yes, and the only reason is because of what you said. Is I'm not going to sacrifice, unfortunately, 93 acres for the other 2,500 acres, or 3,500 acres that are in the planning area. And I thank your town for doing that, for not only preservation zone, but the planning area also to be compliance.
If there are no more comments from council members, we will move to a vote. Annette, please.
Council Member Alston?
Yes.
Council Member Carluccio?
No.
Council Member Cogger?
Yes.
Council Member Francis?
Yes.
Council Member Holtaway?
Yes.
Council Member Kovach?
Yes.
Council Member Letts?
Yes.
Council Member Richco?
Yes.
Council Member Vizioli?
Yes.
Acting Chairman Schreier?
Yes. Thank you all. Eileen, do you want to do a quick photograph?
I think the planning board chairman might like to do it. St. Patrick's Day, I'd love the opportunity as well.
Great, folks.
Be right back.
Hey, Jim.
Chris is your name, so she's in the picture as well.
Where I have a you have no say over this area. You know, if they weren't coming in.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks so much.
Appreciate your
patience. All right. Absolutely. Yes. We never just going to be so long. You must be a public of involvement.
Okay. I'll get back to that.
The case stretched very soon. Right?
Say what? Just so long.
Just nobody. Soon as they come back, get back into the Tucson.
Okay.
So where I hope to do the work.
I can't.
So can you?
I have a point that I'm interested in. Pardon the show.
No, that's not a lot.
Pardon the show. Open up.
Is this an heirloom type of thing?
No, it's probably a Renaissance painting.
So far.
Probably. 18th century, if not 17th century. And she has a lot of experience.
Was your daughter's birthday?
Yes, we're going to her birthday party.
You can get overtime today.
No, I got absolutely no. Well,
nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you too.
Direction or even
keep up the good work.
You know what I'm saying?
That's true.
2 hours for no actual purpose.
However, Somerset County is
a small, tiny place. Did you go to North Carolina last night?
No, I'm going back.
You're all with. You look like you got
well, yeah, I've been outside. I'm starting to put in my garden. I'm going to put my onion shed in this week. Then I'm going to do my potatoes and
how far are you? You're going to take a
I have, believe it or not, I have four. 4x8 raised beds that provide animals with all the produce that we need. And I mean, I have options. Lots of produce.
We're looking at 46.
Did I leave backwards?
She your aerial truck in back?
Huh? Why need to talk to you? I may need a favor.
Oh, yeah?
We put another furnace in.
Oh, gosh.
And it weighs about 600 pounds, 700 pounds. It'll be on a pallet. And I was wondering if I could get a tractor up with ports on it, because it'd be hard to get it to the back of the house.
Don't give up
the. The furnace coming in. I can't get it in through anything but the back door.
This should be the day for days of this run up there. Give me a day's notice and run up there with the work.
Oh, Angie's doing it, so I told him I would talk to him and I'd ask him to coordinate it. So we can do it. But I got no other way to get it in.
So when are you going to grow
it? I grow all kinds of herbs, tomatoes, herbs. I do it organically.
Me too. Oh, it's nothing like it when you go to the dinner.
I have some tomatoes that are terrific. Yeah, I put up 60 quarts of tomatoes only.
Yeah, we make sauce too. It's the best.
All right, Eileen?
Yes, sir.
We get everybody in. Jack wants to get started again, so let's.
Oh, you're going to
try to just move this along so we get home before midnight.
We said
I'm going to wind up buying dinner tonight.
Yeah, I can tell my wife to cook the corned beef tomorrow.
Okay. All right, we'll move back into session. And Eileen, I'll turn it over to you for Somerset County.
Yes, sir. I'm nervous to say that I anticipate this will be somewhat faster than I am. I think this is simple. And there is no one from Somerset with us today. I've spoken with Bob Bizek, and they're satisfied for us to move ahead without them being in attendance. But just check to get.
So that means I get no picture while Jack's not here.
Later, I'm sure we'll take a picture of you.
Chris Downs did the work with Somerset, and in some cases to assist them, actually, you know, assist them through the process as a county, and waived some of the provisions, but we'll take you through it now. The total county land area is about 305 square miles, the Highlands portion of which is about a quarter of it, 47,555 acres. Of that, the preservation area is only 2%. In working with all of the counties, they were only conforming for the preservation area, mainly because the municipalities will dictate what happens in the planning area. Burness Township, Burnesville Borough, Far Hills and Peapack Gladstone are entirely in the planning area. Bedminster Township has lands in both planning and preservation areas. This is a map of the Highlands portion of the county, and here you can see the preservation area. Now, while we're working today, your petition is only for the preservation area, we are planning with them comprehensively, looking at the entire Highlands region of Somerset County, and we'll speak about that more, because when we get to the plan implementation schedule, we'll talk about more work that's in the entire Somerset Highlands region. So I think that's important in the context of what we were discussing earlier, the fact that we do look at things from a regional perspective, and so too does Somerset County. So we wanted to see in what way can we work together into the future. Here again is a very interesting map in terms of, this is areas served by Highlands Water. So you can see here the Highlands area of Somerset County with the preservation area here, and this area here gets a large part of its water, I believe it's 25 to 50% of its water from the Highlands. So I think what it tells you is, the message clearly is that the Highlands isn't just about the Highlands, it's about those receiving areas throughout the state of New Jersey, some of them the most densely populated areas of the state that rely on the Highlands for their water. Interestingly enough, when you think about it, the Netherlands, another great planning, regional planning entity, gets its water from the Highlands. Somerset County has a history of planning initiatives, as Chris was researching all of this, she said they had been assisting in the creation of quality communities since September of 1954, and have a history of proactive engagement in planning and conservation initiatives. Their mission is to positively influence the process of growth and change in the county so that it provides the optimum living and working environment for its residents and employers, build balanced communities, promote regional awareness and cooperation, protect the natural environment, and preserve its rich history, farmland, and natural beauty. County has been active in serving as a pilot for the development of the New Jersey Department of Environmental Protection Wastewater Management Plan. They are one of the counties that is way ahead in that pilot project, and continues to be a regional lead in economics, working with the Regional Center of Partnership. Quick look at their petition. December of 2009, their petition for plan conformance was submitted. In August of 2010, it was deemed administratively complete, and the petition was then posted to the council website. Their draft consistency report was sent to the county January of this year, and the final draft report posted to the Highlands Council website on February 17th, which started the public comment period, which ended on the 4th of March. And their final report was then posted to the website on the 15th, and that brings us today, the public hearing. The conformance process for the counties is far simpler than that of the municipalities. There are basically four tasks. Task A is the environmental resource inventory, and the staff finding on that is that their inventory is consistent. The task B is the master plan Highlands element, which incorporates the regional master plan goals and objectives into county planning, and provides the basis for the effectuation of the regional master plan, and their finding was consistent. Task C is with regard to lands and facilities regulations. A waiver was granted to Somerset County, given that they didn't have any facilities in the preservation area of Somerset County, any county facilities. Development resolution incorporates development application checklist requirements, notice provisions, and Highlands Council call-up allowances. The finding on this task was consistent. And the final task is the petition for conformance, a self-assessment report, and an implementation plan and schedule. Again, the finding is consistent. The public comment period, as I stated, opened February 17th, closed March 4th. No public comments were received. the recommendation from staff to the council is to approve with conditions. Proposed conditions are the completion and adoption of the planning documents, the environmental resource inventory, master plan Highlands element, and land development resolution, and adherence to the Highlands implementation plan and schedule. Now, there are additional priority tasks and funding has been allocated in the implementation plan schedule, which is part of your approval of any conforming municipality or county. And this is where we started looking at beyond the preservation area, which as you saw was so tiny, to the entire Highlands region of Somerset County. And an inventory of conservation easements was suggested there, and Somerset will work with the Highlands Council to do that. Because as you know, apart from the preserved lands, which we've tried to get as up to as possible through the state and the county and the municipal and the non-profits, there are also many conservation easements that are out there and aren't inventoried. So we started this work, and you approved this for Passaic County. Somerset are interested in working with us for that Highlands portion. The Highlands Council has completed the update of all the fee simple preserved lands, but this will allow us to get into the easements. Here you can see the mapping of the county preserved lands, shown in green, other preserved lands where there may be shared groups in or not-for-profits included as well, and preserved parks. Additional priority tasks to develop a sustainable economic plan element, again for the entire county Highlands region, that could be incorporated into the county strategic master plan and other local and master plan elements. Related to this funding, Somerset County has also expressed an interest in assisting the Highlands Council in promoting the evaluation of potential TDR receiving areas countywide. So we're already talking about having a joint meeting and working together to see, because their knowledge of their county and areas where there is capacity for growth and the potential to use TDR, and they are familiar because they've done this kind of work previously in the county. So this is the kind of collaborative work that we look forward to doing with Somerset County outside of the petition for just the preservation area, but as part of their petition for the Highlands region of Somerset County. And this brings you to the point of council deliberation on petition report.
There's no representative here from Somerset County, is that correct?
That's correct.
I'll just mention before I ask for a motion that I invited then freeholder and now assemblywoman Denise Coyle, who was on the Highlands Task Force, to attend this meeting, hoping that she might like to see what she wrote and what we wrote. So she couldn't make it, but she sends her greetings to everybody, particularly anybody with whom she's served. So having seen the presentation, is there a motion on the resolution?
So moved.
Second.
Thank you.
Any comments from the council members at this time?
Yeah, I have one. I think Eileen brought up the conservation easement issue. That's a lot more important than you might think, because conservation easement typically is much stricter than anything in the regional master plan or anybody plan. It pretty much freezes that. And that's a deed restriction, by the way. And deed restrictions are almost impossible to remove. They're problematic to remove and expensive. And so, you know, that very is an important one, and we move forward, and it's even more important to inventory not only deed restricted but conservation easement, because it might be a larger number than you think throughout the Highlands area.
Fetters Township, which is the largest area in Somerset County in the planning and preservation area, we have had a working on a program to map these, so I'm very pleased to hear it's coming to a higher level where.
Yeah.
Information will be a lot more available. I think that when you get the GIS systems, the higher level that they're maintained at, the better they are in general for everybody. Yes. And so I'm glad to see that that's the recommendation the county is going to go for.
To make one comment, overlay easements that towns take in addition to the DEP are also important to identify, because that gives you, a way to enforce enforcement. So when towns take the overlay easements, they have the ability to enforce that conservation easement regardless of the DEP's action or inaction. particular easement that may be granted.
If there are no more comments from the council members, I will ask for a public comment.
I can just bend down.
That's to speed the process.
Julia Summers, New Jersey Highlands Coalition. We didn't submit comments on Somerset County because, frankly, there was nothing to comment on. So I just came to say, since nobody else seems to be saying anything, go for it. Thank you.
Thank you. And if there are no other public comments, and no other comments from the council, vote please.
Councilmember Olmstead?
Yes.
Councilmember Carluccio?
Yes.
Councilmember Carver?
Yes.
Councilmember Francis?
Yes.
Councilmember Holtaway?
Aye.
Councilmember Kovach?
Gone.
Councilmember Letts?
Yes.
Councilmember Richco?
Yes.
Councilmember Vizioli?
Yes.
Acting Chairman Schreier?
Yes, thank you. Okay. I'll get the order. We open this meeting to the public. Any member of the public to comment to the Highlands Council on any matter relative to Highlands? Mr. Klump, could you identify yourself?
Yes. And it is afternoon or almost evening. I don't know where we're at. Yeah, it's getting close to it. But thanks for having this afternoon meeting, especially for the farmers, because at least we can get a half a day in before we come here. So my name's Hank Klump. I farm. I own 150 acres in the Highlands Preservation Area. In the meeting agenda, I see item number 10, which we're at right now. Public comment reads, questions raised in this period will not be responded to at this time, but where feasible, will be followed up by the council and its staff. Well, I guess my questions are not considered feasible by you, because for almost 7 years now, I've been asking for them with no answers from you. How can you justify taking property values with no money for compensation in place? How can you strip people of equity? How can you have no record of the scientific study that put my property into the Highlands Preservation Area when property down the road is not? Are these questions feasible? After talking to another farmer about the Highlands Nest, we agree that if I bought a brand new John Deere tractor and it would not run, I would not go back to the manufacturer for answers to the problem, but to my local John Deere dealer, who would be expected to handle the problems. However, if the dealer could not come up with the answer to solve the problem, they would contact the manufacturer who designed and made the tractor for answers. You people up here are my John Deere dealer, and I have come to you with a problem. If you are unable to help me with answers to my problem, then you have to go to your manufacturer, Trenton Legislators, who designed and made the act for the answers. I'd like to thank you. But one other thing that I've got a question about, and this is from the March 17th meeting. I submitted my comments, but I don't see them in writing. It depends. Not that anything gets changed, but I'd like to see these comments on the back of this thing here, because my feelings, and it's everybody's lawyer, how they determine certain things. And it should be connected to this, or anybody's comments, because what says here is kind of a word of mouth or off one of these things here, and it depends on who's writing. So I'd like my comments to be attached to the minutes from the meeting. They used to be. I see it's not done today, so I feel like somebody's running a horse over there in the wrong direction. But thanks very much for letting me speak. And again, if I can help any of you going to Trenton, do anything where we can get, you know, if you need a voice or somebody from the product or what's happened to the people, I'd be only too happy to get down there and tell the legislators, because it's been 7 years, there's no funding, and I keep beating this to death. Without equity, you're out of business. Thanks again. I really appreciate your time. God bless you all, and have a happy St. Patrick's Day.
Thank you, Hank.
Okay.
I'm going to suggest an amendment to that paragraph that you read in agenda item number 10. And with the acquiescence or objection of the council, we'll find out. I'd like to change the phrase that says the council requests that you kept 3 minutes. Questions raised in this period may not be answered rather than will not. Okay? Because there are times when we have responded. And I think it would be more accurate to say may, but as a matter of tradition and protocol and for the expeditious running of the meeting, generally not. Most of the questions, many of the questions, need research and further elaboration. But if the council is in favor of that, I'd like to propose that.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to say...
You don't have a vote. Okay.
You don't know.
Anybody object to that?
Are you looking for a vote on this?
I agree.
Just change it.
Okay, just want to make sure. Yes, sir.
I would have said, will be answered.
Really? Shall be.
Touché.
Okay.
Thank you. Okay, the next item is the executive session. I'm sorry. Sorry. Please come up.
I know Hank's a hard act to follow. My name is John Holt, and I'm from Tewksbury Township, and I'm with the Friends of Fairmount Historic District. I just wanted to bring the council up to date on the happenings with the JCP&L substation. As I'm sure you're aware, on February 4th, DEP found the project exempt. They did so, we feel, in an arbitrary and capricious manner. They totally ignored the good work of Chris Ross and the staff and Eileen and Tom and others coming up with the decision here that the project would have a negative impact on the historic district and therefore was not consistent with the goals and purposes of the act. The DEP in their decision said, thank you very much, Highlands, that's great, but we're going to ignore it. And then they went on to add insult to injury by saying, and with your little safety issue that you're so worried about, we've determined that even though it's in the Highlands Act that you can't cite something that's going to endanger people, we don't have to really consider that part of the act because this is an exemption. It's not an application. But we feel that's in the Highlands Act and doesn't make common sense to give an exemption when they've been told and we've provided facts that this is a dangerous situation, endangerment to the two flag lot families. So we have appealed. We filed an appeal with the State Court of Appeal. We also filed last Friday with the DEP a request for a stay under the appeal process with the state court. With administrative matters, you go to the agency first requesting that stay. We went to JCP&L and asked them if they would, during the period of this appeal, hold off work, and their answer was no. They didn't see any upside for them on that. Then when we filed the appeal, they said they would respond within 10 days, which they have on March 21st. But we got our real answer this morning when the trucks pulled up and they started cutting trees down at the site. It was very upsetting, and I've got some pictures here. As a result, 9 Fox Hill Road, the historic home, has a direct view now right into the site, which has been clear cut. It will continue to have a view of the substation because of the angle of the driveway that they've chosen to put in there. We did reach out to the DEP. We understand there's some discussions, and the work did kind of stop somewhere around midday before normal working hours. And there's a tree in the middle of the field now that has some of its branches off, but it looks like a cactus. And I think they were stopped, but we don't know. We haven't heard any word from DEP. I don't know if you've heard anything or not, but it's very upsetting to think that the crux of our matter of the appeal is the fact that this is going to destroy an historic district. And to allow JCP&L to go on with work while that appeal is being decided is just wrong. And we've started a campaign called Stop the Substation, and over 4,000 faxes have been sent to Trenton. I think David's gotten a few of them. Asking the governor and DEP to honor the stay while this is being appealed. Obviously, to wake up this morning and see this, it was not a, the luck of the Irish weren't with us this morning. If there are any leprechauns there or any other bugs, bees, or animals, they've scattered with the trucks and the 10 people in there. I call them the Bob the Builder outfits running around. And JCP&L is taking the attitude that we won. They actually told my neighbor that. We won, and we're building it. Well, those are fighting words as far as we're concerned. And we would like this council's help with the appeal and with the stay. We think that with the stay, it's only common sense and common decency that our state government should provide that stay. This has been going on for 3.5 years. A few more months is not going to be the end of the earth. Our power is not going to go out, but something totally bad is going to happen to the historic district if they're allowed to construct this facility before the appeals process is finalized. We've also taken the BPU decision to the Supreme Court, and we've asked them to take a look at it and review, because we feel that the BPU did not follow fact-finding. They did not follow the land use needs. They did not look at the impacts on the neighborhood and the contributing properties as they should have. And we've asked for clarification at the Supreme Court about what process does the BP really do in their decision making. It was obvious to us that they just took the words of JCP&L and rubber stamped it. And then that was continued at the appeals level, and they really didn't get into the crux of the matter. But we still have a concern about the safety issue. And we have a YouTube video. We're getting high tech now in our campaign, but it's been successful with the communicating to Trenton that this is not just four little neighbors that are going to be upset, and it's the usual, not in my backyard. This is serious stuff, and it's a serious concern to the two flag lot people who will be trapped and they have no way out. The other part of the DEP decision was they had a simple solution that those homeowners could come and get an Exemption 5 from the Highlands Act. But, Mr. Francis, you talked about conservation easements. Those properties have Tewksbury conservation easements on it. There's C1 waters. There's wetlands. So I don't know how easy it is, but DEP, Terry Pulaski said, oh, that'd be easy. No problem. And we can make that happen. Well, that's not a solution. Government should not be able to cite something and then put the burden of the solution on the homeowner to get an exemption for a driveway. For an emergency. It's just totally wrong. But thank you for your time. I get a little upset about this thing. But if you could help us, we really need a voice from this council in Trenton on the stay and on the appeal. Because it really went to the, it was an affront to this council, not hard work that your staff did. Thank you.
Thank you. Obviously, we're not going to comment because right. It's in litigation. But our comments on the proposal that were made publicly are available, and the BPU did see them. I think they speak for us and continue to speak for us. I don't think there's anybody in the council who has changed his opinion or her opinion on the issue since the comments were completed, and so they stand. I really don't want to say any more about it because of the nature of it.
Our concern is that we feel that we've been caught between a rock and hard place with the Highlands and the DEP and all those other things that are going on. And we know it's going on because it's out there in the public. And we feel this is very unfair to have our project and our lives caught in the middle of that. This should not be a political football. This should be a common sense decision made by, like this council did, on the facts. And we'll take them to court. And we think we have a very good chance in court because the DEP did no fact-finding. They just wrote it the way they wanted to. And all the facts were done by the staff. And we're going to be using that in our appeal. So we thank you for that.
Thank you. Can I say one more? Yes, Mr. Schultz.
My name is David Shope. I have a farm in Lebanon Township. This gentleman that just spoke about not creating anything by regulation or zoning, I presume, that is a hazard. Well, you've done that in spades here in the Highlands Act, and I'll tell you how you've done it. You have zoned land for agricultural purposes only. Agriculture is the fourth most dangerous job in the country. You have created a public health menace with your zoning of land for agricultural purposes only. The Bureau of Labor Statistics has come out with this report. It also it concerns deaths, and it also concerns injuries. And just as a little aside, Hank's John Deere dealer and my John Deere dealer is now in Allentown, Pennsylvania. There used to be two right here. There used to be one in Hackettstown and another one in Neshannock. They're gone. So much for agricultural viability, so much for condemning people to a hazardous job should they elect to use their property to gain what little advantage it has, and that is to say farmland assessment. That's what you've done. And also, you, in terms of your water deficit areas, you've missed them by a mile. I have a map here that I'll give to you. It's from the USGS. Location of critical water supply management areas, flood warning network areas, and two observation wells. One is Ocean Monmouth, Middlesex County, and the other one is essentially the Pinelands. And they speak about saltwater intrusion in the critical water supply area number one. And that's because that aquifer was being pumped out so much that salt water was coming in to replace the fresh water being pumped out. And the DEP said, no more building, no more pumping from this aquifer. If you want to build anything else, you have to get the water from somewhere else. And this happens to be Bob Smith's country. This is where he is state senator. This is also where he practices his land use attorney business. And he represents, amongst other clients, one of the biggest builders in New Jersey, Jack Morris. And somewhere else that the water that is going to critical water supply area number one is us. We are supporting intensive building that continues to go on in this part of New Jersey, and all you have to do is review the building permits available online from the state government to see where the building is going on and has gone on. And it would not have gone on if we did not supply the water to them. Where's our piece of the pie? We don't have one. These clowns in Trenton, of which Smith was one, basically sacrificed our equity for their continued building. And if you don't think that building adds to property values, you're just crazy. So again, sleep well tonight, realizing that you have created a public hazard by zoning so much land for agricultural purposes only, condemning the people who do it to having the fourth most dangerous job in the nation. I can tell you what the other three are if you want, or you can find out for yourself. All right, I'm going to submit this. I'd like to see this. along with, I echo Hank's comments. Sometimes the our comments and other comments are attached to the minutes the next month, and sometimes they're not. It seems to be a whimsical process.
Yes. Front row.
My name's Dave Pfeiffer. I'm speaking as a private resident of Tewksbury Township. I would urge you to listen carefully to what Mr. Holt said. What's on the line here is the credibility of the council with the local community. And please do all you can to support what they're doing. The first grant of an exemption without contacting the council set us on this road. And we have a historic district and natural resources at risk, and we have human beings and lives at risk. I would hope that you would take a firm position on this and be clear in what you say. Thank you.
Well, last word. Maybe?
Could be someone else. Wilma Ferrari, New Jersey Conservation Foundation. I also urge the council to strongly support the Friends of Fairmont, Historic Fairmont. It's a matter of the council's power and credibility, and I urge the council to take, to join in the lawsuit, or however you would do it, to basically defend the council's right to declare consistency and to have the other agencies respect the council's decision in the Highlands. The DEP asked for the council's recommendation and then they blew it off. So please do everything in your power to defend your work and the recommendations that you made, because the basic conclusions were accurate and correct that the council made, and although they were they were given a limited area to voice those recommendations, they were fundamental to the values of the historic district, the scenic values and the historic values. I mean, this is a designated scenic road, a designated state and federally listed historic district. And so the issue on which the council crafted its recommendations was terribly relevant to those particular concerns. So please defend them. Thank you very much. Defend Thank yourself. You.
Not the last word. Julia?
Julia Summers, New Jersey Highlands Coalition. Sorry to be keeping you here. This issue of Tewksbury is a really important one. As you are probably aware, the council or the township committee in Tewksbury has specifically written to you and asked that you take this action, that you join them in defending your recommendation. One of the reasons why it is really important is not just for Tewksbury and the Friends of Fairmount Historic District, but it is important for all the work that you are doing. This DEP is deliberately pushing the envelope as far as they can to see to what extent they can ignore the work of this Highlands Council. And you have to take a stand. If the courts are going to decide it, so be it. But you have to take a stand to help figure that out. And Senator Bob Smith's office and his district office are in Piscataway.
Thank you. Hank, one more?
Yes. Careful now, will you? I just have one question. I need it clarified, Tewksbury. Legal shield for these people. When the Highlands Council came to our town, said that if you have any problems, Highlands Council would be your legal shield. Now, does that pertain to this? Because Tewksbury is in, they've opted in to put the preservation area. So does this council, or does the legal shield affect this, or does not affect it? I don't know, maybe it's a question for Tom, or I don't know. How does that work? Because I questioned you that at our township meeting, and I said to you, I said, are you going to get, yes. And I said to you also, and if you don't prevail, the town's on the hook, if you remember. So I don't know, maybe you could help these people here a little bit, you know, for whatever. I don't know.
It's one of the questions Tewksbury asked us to answer, so we will.
Say again.
It's one of the questions that Tewksbury asked us to answer in their letter to us.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that. I wasn't privy to the to the letter. Thank you very much. I appreciate that.
Thank you. Okay, at this point, we're going to go into a closed session. I'll entertain a motion to go into executive session to discuss.
So moved.
Okay, we're back into open session. Thank you all for being so patient and waiting. Tom, would you just quickly give us a brief summary of the...
Sure, thanks for sticking around. We went into executive session to discuss some pending litigation matters. There's numerous matters which the Highlands Council has sued over the regional master plan and some recent matters regarding plan performance approvals. We briefed the council on those issues. We also briefed the council on, I'm sorry, personnel matters regarding two existing vacancies we have in our office.
Thank you. Motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Motion. Second.
Second.
In action.
Thanks, yeah. Rob. Good job. Have a nice evening, everybody.